Ready for your new TV obsession? Thursday, January 26th on the CW, the network that gave you The Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl, is bringing you the awesomely dark and addictive new series Riverdale. Based on Archie comics, Riverdale puts a super edgy, twisted spin on the classic characters you know. Did you ever read Archie? Which character are you? Are you a good girl like Betty, or are you more of a Veronica? Are you like Golden Boy Archie, or are you a misunderstood loner like Jughead? That's where I really see myself, as a misunderstood loner like Jughead. Which character are you secretly crushing on? Now, Riverdale may look like the perfect, safe, wholesome small town, but it's got huge secrets. It all starts off with a new year at Riverdale High and the mysterious murder of one of its most popular kids. Everyone becomes a suspect, and that's when the sordid details about what everyone really did over the summer and with whom begin to surface. You won't believe what the people in this town are hiding. So do not miss the jaw-dropping series premiere of the must-see new show Riverdale, Thursday, January 26th, only on the CW. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another one of our Survivor postseason interviews. And today we are going to be talking with Brett LaBelle from Millennials versus Gen X. I've been looking forward to this one for the last couple of weeks. Today, we're finally going to get Brett and talk to him about his whole experience in Survivor 33. So that's what's coming up here today. I'm really happy with how these interviews have turned out so far, with the postseason interviews that we've done with David and with Adam. Both those interviews are pretty long, and I think people are still making their way through both David and Adam's interview. But I hear from people when they finish them how much they've enjoyed those interviews. So if you haven't heard either of those for any reason, I'll post the links to those in the show page on robhasawebsite.com. And make sure you don't miss anything else we're doing in the Survivor offseason. When you subscribe to the podcast, go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, before we get to Brett, I don't want to have to stop during that interview. So let me take a moment and talk to you about Blue Apron. It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, because not all ingredients are created equal. That's why you need fresh, high quality ingredients to make a real difference. That's why it's important to know where your food comes from. And that's what Blue Apron does. I love when we do Blue Apron for dinner, because they send you a package with everything you need to make a variety of new recipes each week. They never repeat a recipe within a year, so you'll never get bored. What I like about Blue Apron is that all of the Blue Apron meals are already in my MyFitnessPal, so I'm trying to eat right in the new year. I know exactly. I don't have to enter in all the ingredients of everything. Those meals are already pre-entered in there, so I can just add them into my app. Of course, Blue Apron is affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. They've got several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And it's easy, with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So go ahead, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels, it tastes, and how incredible home-cooked meals are with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring this guest here onto the podcast. That when I started saying I was going to do some postseason interviews, and we got to the point, I said, and we're also going to be speaking with this man, people are very excited to hear from him. Let's find out if he can deliver. Please welcome, from the Boston Police, Brett LaBelle. Brett, how are you?
Yes. This is, there's no wiggle room. No wiggle room. Yes.
There really is very little wiggle room.
Yes, I like it. Yes.
Brett.
Hey, Rob, I'm happy to be here. I'm so happy to be here. This is great.
Good. I'm glad you could take a break from your tailgating for Sunday's AFC Championship game to join us here on the podcast.
I'm very excited about that game, and we're going to win.
Okay.
I don't care how many terrible towels are in the audience. We're going to win this game. The Pats are going to overcome.
All right. Well, that's good. Yeah. I don't want to hear you. Or actually, you should go right to Periscope if they don't win on Sunday.
I can't even get Twitter up.
Yeah. We will. It'll be like, you know, every one of these millennials pulling an idol out every 5 seconds. That's going to be your reaction to Sunday. And not Sunday Berquist.
Not Sunday Berquist. Sunday, the actual day where we get to watch the Pats come out on top. This is going to be wonderful.
All right. Anyway, Brett, how's everything going since the finale?
Everything's great, Rob. And I've been really enjoying all your podcasts and listening to all the interesting stories I've been hearing. I'm here to tell, I'm so psyched that I get to sit down and now tell everyone the truth of what actually happened on that island.
Good, because there are things that have come up in my conversations with David and with Adam that you feel like that maybe were not represented as you saw them happening.
Well, no, listen, you have to understand everyone, you know, first of all, we're all so obsessed with ourselves, as you would know, being a survivor yourself. Mm-hmm. And we all see things just a little different out there. And that's what's interesting is you listen to all these different recaps and you're like, wait a minute, that's not how that went down. You know, so it's I don't fault these people. It's very interesting to hear them, though. You know what I mean? The tall tales.
And I don't think anybody's lying. I wouldn't say it like that, but everybody has their own perspective on the things that happen.
Right. Right. And some people have a perspective, and I believe everyone's got a different way of seeing how everything came down.
But you're here to say your perspective is the right one.
Correct. Mine is absolutely correct.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a lot to go over today. We have to go over the word pawn, which you seem to use a lot with me and Sunday in regards to Chris. So we're going to definitely go over that. And I'm going to give Rob a little bit of a long rope here, because I know he was just trying to sneak in a chess reference when he was talking to David. So I'm giving you a little bit of rope here. You know
That's
what I mean?
Fine. But
we'll definitely go over that, and we'll discuss that in a little bit. You
That's
know?
Fine. And you, as a professional observer of human behavior, you had a watchful eye on everything that was going on out there. And now you're here to set the record straight.
Absolutely. I'm here to tell the truth. Nothing but the truth and only the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Okay. Well, before we get into the season, you know, I do like to get the background. And I think that you had one of the more interesting backgrounds that we've had on Survivor in a while, because I think that, you know, we got that you were a police officer, but nobody knew, for the most part, a lot of people didn't know the background that you were also gay. And I think that that was like a really interesting thing about your character. And that at what point did you decide you weren't going to tell people about that when you were going on the show?
So, you know, I mean, I guess it wasn't that I wasn't. I had talked a lot about it in casting. They really wanted to know whether I would or I wouldn't. And I said, you know, it's not something I'm scared to tell everyone about. I would be more than happy to. It's just it's going to be a judgment call. I'm trying to win $1 million here. It was going to be a judgment call on whether I was honest about being a police officer, and it was going to be a judgment call on whether I was going to tell them I was gay. Now, I will say, at one point, I discussed with Jeff, and, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to take a gay cop to the end, you know what I mean? So, you know, that was definitely a thing like, geez, you might want to rethink that. Now, nobody pressured me. Everyone, you know, the production was really saying, hey, listen, this is your idea. This is your thing. So you do what you want. So it turned into a judgment call when we hit the beach, you know?
So why wouldn't people want to take a gay cop to the end?
I don't know. I guess maybe they feel like you'd get some, I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was odd too. Like, I don't think it's that big of a sympathy card. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, especially me.
Yeah. I don't know. So with that in mind, I'm also interested to know about how you got into the show, because it seemed like when we went through all of the profiles at the beginning of the season that you were a big fan of the show. How long had you been following Survivor prior to going out there?
Well, I called myself a super fan, not a super duper fan.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to steal anything from my buddy Adam, but I thought I was a super fan. Like, I watched every season. I loved it. But now that I've seen what a true super fan is,
no
I guess I was just a fan who watched every season. I think there's a lot of people like me out there. Like, there's people that never knew about all this online stuff. I didn't know about all this crazy Reddit stuff and how many people would say awful things about me behind my back. Like I never was involved with that. So that's been kind of an eye opener. It's been kind of interesting to watch all this like real, but I mean, I was a fan and I've been a fan and I've been trying out since the second season and that's how much I love the show. And, you know, I'm so, you know, when I was younger, 20, I think it was like 23 or 24 when I first tried out, there's no way I could have gone through that casting. There's no way. Like, I wouldn't have had the confidence level. And, you know, so I think it all kind of happened for a reason why it took me so long to get on because, you know, I know you were talking, you might have been talking to Adam about the casting and, man, I being a little older and being more confident definitely helped me.
So what was it that you did this time around that ultimately got on? I know there's a lot of people who listen to this show that have been trying to crack that same nut. So what was it that was your secret this time?
Yeah. So the best thing I can give anybody is just don't stop because you just never know what's going to happen. I had been trying out. I've gone to open auditions. I believe I sent in one tape and it was really bad. But I had been hitting any open audition that came out to New England. And a guy's at work, I was riding with my partner, who we rode with every night together. And you know when you're riding with someone in a car, in a police car, for 8 hours a day, you talk about everything under the sun. So I think I'd said, hey, I got an audition coming up. So it turned into a big joke at work because he told everyone that I was trying out for Survivor. And they thought it was the huge, biggest joke. So an audition came up in Norwood, Massachusetts at the BMW dealer, which is literally the next town over from Boston where I lived. And they so I knew there was an open audition. You had to call. And so somebody sent that to me on Facebook. One of the guys from work, you know, yeah. Big yuck, yuck, yuck. Hey, why don't you go try out here? I said, screw these guys. I'm going to do it. So I went. I made an appointment. I went and I had something I've all filled out that I was going to do, some crazy thing. And probably like rip my shirt off again or something like that. And I went in and they gave me a list of like bullets. Like, this is the information you want. Where are you from? What you do? Why you'd be good? So they had a bunch of questions they wanted answered, which I'd never seen before. So I said, well, shoot. So and now I've been taking improv for the last like 3 or 4 years. I've been at Boston Improv or Improv Boston in Cambridge. And so I said, so kind of going in at the last minute, I think it kind of helped me having the improv. I kind of had to wing everything.
Yeah.
So I literally had 5 minutes to prepare and then I was in front of a camera. And I think it was like it was a world of difference, not preparing and just going in and just winging it. And for me. And, you know, next thing I knew, within a month, they were calling me. I remember when they called, I was at a call. I was heading into work and there was a stabbing on Blue Hill Ave. And I happened to be right around the corner, right in front of a police station. The guy lived, but I took a right because I knew I was right near the street where it just happened. I ended up coming up with oddly enough, I came up with the stabber. So I ended up locking him up. And then I went in to look at the videotape because I wanted to see if they actually had the whole stabbing on videotape. So I said, well, let me look at it. And I'll be able to tell if it's the guy I caught. So they're replaying the tape for me. And right then, casting calls me from Survivor. And I answer the phone. And this is a month after I tried out. I said, hello. And they said, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so from Survivor. We'd like to talk to you about your tape. And I was like, I'd love to talk to you, but I can't talk to you right now. I'm in the middle of a crazy situation at work. So she was great. She's like, well, just call me back in about an hour. So once I was finished with all that, I called her back and we talked for like an hour and a half and everything seemed great. And they were interested in me for Blood versus Water, same as Adam was going up for. But I couldn't none of my family would play along, so to speak. So I had to wait. And then 2 years, 3 years later, they called me. And now I'm watching Jeremy, you know, going for his $1 million. So that was the season. And she said, hey, are you still interested? And I said, I'm watching the firefighter that you casted instead of the Boston cop who's now going for $1 million the second time. Yeah, I'm still interested. You know, count me in.
Yeah.
So it all went. And then next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. They flew me out to L.A.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So, yeah, you think that you would have gotten Jeremy's spot on San Juan del Sur?
Listen, I shouldn't say that because Val and him have so much personality and they're such great people. I don't know. You know, it just depends on my family member. If anyone would have volunteered, it would do anything to help me with my dreams. You know, if they would have volunteered, if they would have been you know, as good on TV as those two are. So I don't know. It definitely all worked out for a reason. I'm very happy to have been on Millennials versus Gen X. I think it's probably one of the best seasons I've seen. And I'm just so psyched to be a part of such a great season with such great people. So everything happens for a reason. I'm not upset over that. It was just great to, you know, get called twice. I feel lucky, you know?
Yeah. So you mentioned how your coworkers reacted to the application. I'd love to know how they were reacting to you being on the show. And if Jeremy being a firefighter winning, if they felt like that they had a horse in the race, because I feel like that my father, who was a police officer, you know, that there was a rivalry between the police and the firefighters.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a, you know, we're constantly in a rival, and it's always been a rivalry. It'll always be a rivalry, but it's a fun rivalry. We don't, you know, we look out for each other. We, you know, a lot of times we're at the same situations, bad situations, sometimes good, you know. But yeah, there's definitely a little bit of ripping back and forth and stuff like that. But no, I mean, the guys were excited to when once they found out. I had to go. You know, you're not supposed to, as you know, Rob, being a former survivor, you're not supposed to tell anyone about it. And I had to go to the commissioner's office and get it approved before I could go anywhere. I did have to use all my vacation time, but I still had to, you know, I'm going to be gone for, you know, to use all my time in a row. It's got to, you know, we had to get it approved by the commissioner. So, but he was all for it. He thought it was a great idea, Commissioner Evans. And, you know, he gave it his blessing. The problem was, is when he became commissioner a few years ago, a lot of the people that work up in that office, I used to work with in District 4, which is Fenway Park, South End section of Boston. And I worked with a bunch of them, and now they're all working up the commissioner's office. So once I went up there and word got out, you know, it started spilling out into the department. So when I was gone, word started getting around that I was, you know, it wasn't my fault. I was, you know, CBS told me it was okay to tell the commissioner. And then, you know, little did they know that cops are like, it's like a high school up there. What's what you tell one, you tell them all. So, you know, word started getting out. So when I got back, people coming up to me, hey, I heard you're on Survivor. I said, no, I tried out. I still haven't heard. So I downplayed it like that. And they said, oh, the rumor's going around that you were on. I said, no, that's not true.
Yeah,
that's
but you lost so much weight. How did you explain that?
Well, I just told them I hadn't been eating right. And I told they might have figured it out, but I just I stuck to my guns. I wasn't, you know, I signed a contract. I wasn't saying a word. So.
Right.
But yeah, no, I got my balls busted a lot about that. But it was good. And they've been wicked supportive. And I'll tell you, when it was airing, they were going crazy and everyone was texting me and my God, you know, you're doing great. Get that Dave off, get this off. So it was something that, you know, a lot of these guys don't watch religiously, but they all got really into it. And the guys and gals at work really enjoyed me being on the show. So that was really cool.
How quick did you go back to work after playing?
Right away. I literally had 2 or 3 days off and I was right back to work. And I'll tell you, I was weak. I didn't go out there. You know, I kind of stayed in the office for a few days because I couldn't lift anything. I'd lost a lot of weight in a short amount of time. So
how much weight do you lose?
36 pounds.
Yeah.
I had no muscle. I had like, it was very weak. I was very weak, you know? So,
all right, well, let's talk about how you lost those 36 pounds. And so you go out there for Millennials versus Gen X, out in Fiji. Did you know anything about Millennials going into this thing, or did you really just start to become exposed to, you know?
Oh, no, I mean, I'm a Boston police officer. I deal with these fools every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But and their opinions and their, oh, my God, everyone's going to be this. And it's like, enough's enough. I'm just kidding. But I dealt with that generation a lot, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of colleges in Boston and I deal with the parties and I deal with this and I deal with that. So, yeah, no, I'm very familiar with the millennial generation.
What about on the police force? Do you have a lot of millennials that are coming up as like the young cops?
Yep. Yeah, we do. In fact, we get more and more people dropping out of the police department because they can't make the run and they don't like to be yelled at. And, you know, so, yeah, we see a lot of that now, you know.
Is there a bit of a culture clash that goes on within the police department between the young up and coming millennials and the older generation?
No. Once you're on, the guys, you know, once you're a cop, you're a cop. Everyone's accepts you for who you are. I mean, guys go back and forth and joke with each other. But no, there's no like generational gap. I mean, obviously, some of the old timers will look at some of these young kids and just roll their eyes, you know. But after a while, once the kids learn the job, everyone's, you know, we're all the same. We're all brothers and sisters. So, you know, it's all good.
All right. So were you happy to be on a tribe of all Gen Xers?
You know, I was because I think there was looking around at some of the young kids and you kind of go, shoot, you know, and I look younger than I'm told I look a little younger. So I was like, ooh, maybe I was worried when they found out I was 42 that they'd try to vote me out. Or, you know, you think back to all different seasons and you just worry about, you know, like if I was there with Jay and Taylor and Figgy, you know, I didn't know how that was going to go down. So I mean, later on, as you get to know them, it's not a problem. But when you're first there looking at everyone and you haven't talked to anyone, you're nervous about that. So, yeah, no, when I saw I was with all older people, I was definitely happy about that. I knew that was good. That was going to be good for me, you know?
Yeah. And it seemed like at the beginning of the game, like right at the start, it seemed like that you came in and were picking things up pretty quickly. It seemed like you and Chris were the people that were the other players were gravitating to early on.
Well, you know, one of my strong points is people tend to gravitate me to, you know, to me anyway. That's why I sold myself as, you know, one of the best social games Survivor would ever see when I was going through the casting. And I believe that's true. I mean, I'm a very likable guy, very easy to get along with. You know, we had that first night and we were just, you know, me, Chris, even Jessica, everyone was just cracking jokes and trying to have a good time. And I think, you know, we had a horrible night. It was horrible that first night, but we all kept each other laughing and we all, you know, I was just cracking jokes and trying to keep everyone happy as best we could because it was just a miserable night. And I think that's what, you know, I know why they didn't show a lot of us on that first night. It's because we were laughing the whole time, just having a good time. So, yeah, I mean, like Chris and I started, I didn't know Chris from a hole in the wall. I just knew he was a big dude and that people would be gunning for him at some point. We started making the shelter and, you know, everyone was kind of helping with the shelter, but me and him were really the ones building it. And, you know, like, so we kind of really started to just kind of become friends in the first day or two. Then we come back from, you know, after the cyclone, we had to build it again. So then we, you know, reconfirmed our friendship. And I think it's just, that's kind of how we kind of got, you know, to kind of be in a, you know, just I think they didn't show up, but we walk away from camp to go get water. And I just turned and I said, dude, I'm good with you. And he said, I'm good with you. And we fist pumped. And I was like, you know, I knew we were together from the end.
There's a moment in that first episode that I really loved when you guys are building the shelter and David comes over and, you know, he's, you know, that he's like at his most anxious in the game and he's running around and, you know, he wants to help with building the shelter. And he says to you, like, I want to help, but, you know, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. And you just say to him, like, welcome to the club.
Yeah, join the party, pal. Yeah, you know, he I love David. David's one of my good friends now, and he's just such a good dude. I enjoyed every minute with him out there. But the first few days with him were, when he was losing his mind, were a little frustrating. But, yeah, he was like, hey guys, I don't know what to do. It's like, none of us know what to do. Just pick up a hammer or do something or, you know, or help us put this together. But, you know, he was running around talking to different people and it was a lot of confusion on who was with who in those first couple of days. You know, we had pulled in, Chris and I had pulled in Paul cause I knew I liked Paul. Paul had, just seemed real friendly and cool. And we liked the same music, rock music. He's a rocker. And, you know, we're both veterans. So, we both had military. So I knew I could get along with Paul. Paul's like, you know, that was a no brainer. And then, you know, we thought we had Ken. Ken had said, yeah, being, you know, we thought we kind of had a guys alliance going. But then before you know it, Ken was running off with Rachel and we noticed that something wasn't right. So it was kind of an interesting time those first few days.
Yeah. How quickly did the rest of the group come together? Because you guys had, you know, at least a seemingly solid, was it a six?
Yeah. Well, what happened was when we went, they didn't show up, but when we got evacuated, they had given us portions of rice. I think Adam had mentioned this. And so Rachel couldn't eat all of her rice. So I said, she'd come over to me. Now, Sunday couldn't eat her rice. So Sunday had given me her rice. And she said, Brett, you're bigger. Why don't you eat some rice? So Rachel hears that. Goes, oh, yeah, give the rice to the bigger guys. So she comes over and she says, Brett, eat my rice. I said, no, Rachel, Sunday's already given me rice. You know, I already have some. Give it to somebody else. But, you know, Rachel just didn't hear me, threw it down, and off she went. So I was like, guys, there's rice here if anyone wants it. Didn't think another thing of it. The next day we go out to the beach. We're starting to build again. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The next morning she wakes up and sees the rice is still there. And she says, Brett, she goes, didn't I give someone this rice? I gave someone this rice. Why didn't someone eat this rice? Why are we wasting all this rice? And I said, uh-oh. I said, I'm going to shut my mouth here. I'm not saying a word. This could blow up against me.
Yeah.
So we get up. So then they shuttle us back out. We stop building the shelters. And she realizes who it was that she gave the rice to. So she calls me over. And she says, Brett, I want to talk to you about the rice. And I said, Rachel, okay. So we come out. Now I get cameras in my face and everything. So I know she's going somewhere with this. So I said, what's up? And she said, I gave you that rice and you didn't eat it and you let it waste there. I said, no. I said, I clearly stated Sunday had given me her rice. I had had plenty of rice. Give it to somebody else. I said, I'm not going to sit here and hog all the rice. And then she goes, well, I didn't hear that. And then Chris goes, Brett, I heard that. I heard it loud and clear. I said, oh, thanks. And then Sunday said, Brett, I heard it too. You were very clear about it. You said it. So that was my moment with Rachel, right? Paul had a moment with Rachel. Sunday had a moment with Rachel where she kind of goes at you and tries to blow you up in front of other people like you've done something wrong, but everyone was seeing through it. So when everyone started to have these little moments with Rachel, we kind of get together with Jess, and Jess come right over and said, hey, you know, the girls want her gone. I go, listen, that's an easy vote. Let's just do it. And so me, I think there's actually a me shot of me, Sunday, and Jess talking about it in the water. And we literally said, you know, it was just such an easy vote because she was just running around pissing off everyone except for Ken. So that's when we all just kind of came together as a six. And I was very confident in going forward with that six.
So the women of Sunday, Jessica, and Lucy, did they have their own thing on the side also?
No, I would say Jessica and Sunday were definitely together. Now, whether Lucy was with them or not, I don't know. Lucy was more with Chris from what I could tell.
Yeah.
And she seemed to really bond with Chris. So I would say, you know, I talked to Lucy. Like, Lucy and I definitely got along and we definitely were on the same page. But I would say she was more in Chris's court than mine.
Okay.
But I liked Lucy and, you know, I would have worked with her and had no problem doing it because she was we get along great. So
what was Paul like in terms of the camp in the first couple of days? Because on the show, he sort of depicted as being really bossy and controlling over what you guys are doing.
I come from a bossy and controlling world, you know, and I just mean that, you know, I come, you know, where I work, listen, I was in the military and to me, he was fun. He was a great guy. I got a kick out of him. I didn't take everything he said. But again, it was early on. I wasn't taking myself out of the equation and pretending to be somebody else and saying, what do they think of him? To me, he was great. And I never wanted to see him go. And I thought it was a riot. And I thought he, you know, don't get me wrong. He's definitely one of those guys that just talks and talks and talks. So he's definitely somebody that me and Chris would want around later because, you know, he'd be more of a target than we would. But I didn't want to see him go. And I thought it was a mistake to lose him that quick. I think the major mistake was the fact that Jess didn't come to me and Chris. To make that number of people happy for a vote, you know, everything's on the table. And, you know, if they were really that concerned, you know, with what, listen, Paul said something stupid, but I think Paul meant it like, and everyone's thinks, you know, doesn't understand this, but she goes up to Paul and says, if Brett and Chris want to do an all male alliance, what are you going to do? Essentially, I'm paraphrasing. And he's like, oh no, I'll tell them, hey, no, ladies, I'm no way. You're on your own, ladies, you know. But I think he meant that me and Chris calling us the late. I don't think he meant, hey, I'm not going to go with the women. Mm-hmm. He meant, no, I'm staying with everybody. Like, I'm not going to go and do that, you know, because so I think she totally mistook that statement. And even if she didn't mistake that statement, she should have come to us with it.
Yeah. In fairness, if he's calling you guys the ladies, I can see why you would misinterpret that.
Yeah, I could see why the girls misinterpret that because they're not, you know, like I've heard guys refer to like I, you know, even in college and in the military and stuff, guys be like, where are we going tonight, ladies? It's kind of insult guys by, you know, saying that. And I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I've heard that a million times.
No, sure I have too. It's just confusing when you're talking about like a potential division of the sexes to refer to the guys as the ladies in that scenario. Right. But You know, you never know, like that he could have just, you know, he was just like passed out, like, you know, almost medevaced out of the game, that he could have just like said the wrong word also.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could have happened. It's just too bad that it went down like that. But my major problem, and I absolutely love Jess. She got every one of my jokes. We had a lot of laughs out there. And I was really bummed out that that happened, because she didn't, you know, to blindside us like that loses our total. There's no way we can totally trust anyone like that again.
Right.
And the only reason that Sunday, I don't know how Sunday was just, you know, really upset over it. And we had a long conversation, and I knew Sunday's just such a good person. And she's so, you know, I just knew that we were getting her back. You know what I mean? And it's too bad we couldn't mend with Jess, because I think we could have done some great things with Jess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when somebody blindsides you and doesn't tell you, and you're supposed to be working with them, it definitely leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you can never fully trust them again for the rest of that game. You know?
So after they blindside Paul, you and Chris are obviously stunned by that. Were you thinking that you guys are potentially next, or are you feeling like that, you know, the women who were your allies are going to come back to you as they did?
Well, it definitely wakes you up. I mean, I woke me up and I said, this is a new game. You know, we were playing an old school game. And if anything, I can give my hats off to Jessica for waking us all up. And this is not an old school game. This is a new school game, and you have to get with the program. So it definitely woke me up, and I wouldn't have gotten to day 37 if it wasn't for the wake up call I got from Jessica. And once she woke us up, we were a little nervous going home that night. We were also furious, and we blew off steam. But we kind of regrouped and we calmed down, and you know, conversation led to conversation, and we realized that we weren't really that down in the numbers once we got Sunday back. And so, you know, we just kind of stumbled into the next vote without really worrying. I didn't worry about it that much. I was a little worried about that night, thinking, uh-oh, what just happened? Why, you know, you never want to not know about a vote going down. That's the scariest thing. And it happened to me a few times out there, but once, you know, once it calmed down and we saw the numbers, you know, we knew that we were going to be okay, you know?
Yeah. But you guys did a good job in the moment where you guys didn't come back to camp and start like ranting and raving like we see a lot of other survivors. Was there any comfort in that it happened to you and Chris?
Yeah. I mean, we were definitely angry. It was not easy. That night we were definitely, it was heated for us. We listened to everybody. We kept our cool, but we were definitely not happy. And then, but we calmed down the next day. And then, you know, once I talked to Sunday, I knew we were good. So yeah, but you know, we had a nice conversation. We both didn't lose our cool. If we lost our cool totally, like Chris said, I want to go in there and throw everything into the, you know, if we lost our cool totally, it would have been, there's no way we would have come back from it, but we both didn't lose our cool. And you know, it was such a fluid game, and it was obviously, you know, nobody was really gunning for us after that. I mean, you know, so it wasn't easy to come over that. And once we got moving, I don't think anyone, it was just like, all right, well, let's just start winning challenges so we don't have to worry about this again, you know?
Yeah. So how did the decision come to make Jessica be the person that had to go out next?
Because we couldn't trust her.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to what the hell, if she's doing this now, what's she going to do when we merge? So it was like, let's just get rid of her. Because, I mean, we had made a pact. Mm-hmm. We had made a pact that we were going to all be together. And it's like, okay, what's the, we're checking with each other. What's the vote going to be? What's going to vote? And all of a sudden it gets turned on you. I mean, you can't trust us. So it's like, if you can't trust her, you got to get rid of her. You know what I mean?
But could you trust her less than somebody like David, who that there had been sort of like documented issues with how much he could be trusted?
Yeah, but he was on the radar because he was looking for an idol. But everyone, you know, like he seemed so weak that nobody thought, I mean, it's a brilliant story, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like David, you know, afraid of his own shadow, running from chickens. You know, I mean, I never seen a man. I'd never seen a man run from game fowl as fast as he did in my life. It was the most bizarre thing in the world. But the thing was, it was like, this is too, like, to me, I was like, this is too much. There's no way this kid could be this much of a pussy. You know, I couldn't understand like how, and so I half believed it, half didn't, but I didn't think he was like a threat. So I don't think he was so much on the radar as it was like, well, he's always there. It's like, we don't have to worry about him. But, and, you know, he was starting to really work the fire. He was always manning the fire all night long and taking care of stuff. So he was really starting to pull his weight. So he was definitely rising from being on the bottom. I kind of laugh when he says he was always on the bottom and when I watched on TV, because I don't see him totally being on the bottom the whole time, you know? So to me, it was like, why mess with David? Because at the time, he wasn't the David that we all know at the end of the show. So it was like, why mess with him when we could just get rid of, you know, Jess is really playing hard. And she was. She showed her cards very early in the game. I said that on the show. She showed her cards. She's here to play. And, you know, I said, let's get rid of her.
Okay, so this plan is coming together. On the show, it looks like Lucy is driving a lot of this and that she has sort of stepped up in the vacuum that was left by Paul going home. Was Lucy a real taskmaster?
No, I mean, like Lucy was a great cook. I mean, Lucy was our cook until she left. I mean, my God, some of the best rice I've ever had, she cooked. I don't even know how she cooked it that good. We had nothing out there at the time. Oh, I think when we get those steaks, we get some spices. So, but... I wouldn't call her. I think that she was running around after Paul went home. I think she ran around and she started to pull some moves and, you know, she freaked out Ken. I didn't know about the Ken. There was a time when Ken was running around talking to everyone that night. And I think she freaked out Ken and, you know, she was telling him not to go talk to people and it pissed him off. And then we started started to all kind of resonate. So I think if she had just let things alone, it would have gone a lot smoother. But she didn't. But I wouldn't call her like the mastermind behind it. You know, I don't know what she was trying to do, but it backfired on her, you know?
And speaking of Ken, you know, you spend a lot of time with him here. You're going to be with him through most of the end game. Once you guys merge, did you have a good relationship with him?
So Ken was hard to talk to. Not so much as I got to know him, I could talk to him. I mean, he really talks to you. So he wasn't like we tried to get him an alliance. We liked Ken. He come up, told us how he knew how to do everything. He lived off the grid and then he'd run off into the woods and you wouldn't see him. And it was like, okay, well, I guess we'll figure this out for ourselves.
He was going off the grid.
Right. Yeah, you know, he was off the grid. But we said, hey, Ken, what about alliance? He said to Chris, yeah, we're in an alliance. That's great. And I was watching him, and he was off with Rachel all the time, and I knew that she was the one we were going for. Yeah. So I said, Chris, I'm not so sure that we have him. So Chris's like, no, he said we're with him. I'm like, I'm not so sure. So Chris went and talked to him, and Chris come back and goes, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think we got Ken anymore. I said, no, I don't think we have big enough tits to have Ken. So
so you're saying that the Ken and Rachel was a romantic relationship?
Yeah, because once she was gone, then he was right next to, you know, Jess grabbed him.
Okay.
You know, and then when, you know, next thing you know, you see Jess and him talking down on the beach all the time, Jess and him. And then well, after the merge, now it's Michelle and him are down talking all the time. So it was definitely he didn't want to really talk to guys, I found. Okay. You know?
But not necessarily that he's getting into one showmance after the next.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not trying to say that.
He preferred to work with women in the game.
I think he preferred to work with women and talk to women. Maybe, you know, masculine guys intimidated him. I don't know. But I really like Ken. We did get to know each other really well. It was just weird how we couldn't talk to him. And I remember we tried numerous times to try and get something going. He didn't like to talk about the game. He didn't like to talk about voting people out. That was his word. Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that. Well, we kind of got to talk about that. You know what I mean? So it was like once you go there three or four times, five times, and you're not getting anywhere, you can't really tell him anything now because you don't know where. He's obviously, his head's not with me. His head's with somebody else. So I have to be very careful. So that's kind of where, early on we did. But we never, it wasn't like it was uncomfortable around him. We talked. I'd go fishing with him. I had a great personal friendship with him, but it was just, he never really wanted to talk about the game with me.
So you guys are set. You're going to vote off Jessica. And then here comes David with his idol and he plays it on Jessica. And then Lucy goes home. And then
I called it. I called it back then the worst move and, you know, the worst idol play. But, you know, it turns out it might not have been a bad play for him. You know what I mean? Looking back now, watching all pan out. I think it was a pretty good move on his part. And, you know, maybe there's something to be said about not holding on to these idols all the time. You know, maybe that was the smartest move ever. I don't know. Because I'll tell you what, it didn't really fall back on him later. Yeah. And as I thought it would.
He says it was the best move he made in the game.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. You know, he is, he's brilliant, man. So it probably, you know, it, I would have been, listen, with a merge coming,
swap.
Yeah, with the swap coming, I don't know if I would ever have used it yet. But, I mean, you know, I think for his game, it was a good move.
So you guys end up getting to the swap, and then you are split up from Chris. You go to this brand new tribe where... Yeah,
and I was fine being split up with Chris. I don't care what he tells everyone out there in this world. I was not in love with him, okay? So enough with that. If I hear one more word about that on Twitter, I'm going to lose my mind.
I mean, I wasn't saying romantically. I was just saying as allies.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're insinuating that I was split up with him at the whatever it is.
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm saying fact. You guys were split up. I'm not even talking about dating.
Thank God. I'd had enough of him. I was ready to get away from that big ginger.
Yes. And you know what they say? That if you love something, let it go. And if it comes back to you, it'll last forever.
Oh, listen, Rob. You're going to get it.
I wasn't even bringing this up. You brought it up.
So I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
No, but he's a good guy. We had a lot of laughs about this, and but no, it was nerve wracking. I mean, listen, the swap comes, right? I'd already built two shelters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, do not pull the green. And sure enough, I get the green buff, the Ikabula buff, and I'm like, I cannot build another shelter. So then I thought, oh, here we go. Maybe this is going to be one of those great survivor things where you go and you all of a sudden we're at the place where it's already built. We got a house built for us and a bathroom and we're going to live like kings for 2 weeks, you know? So I was like, ooh, maybe we'll get a surprise when we get there. And of course, it was no surprise. It was nothing there. It was a barren wasteland.
It was bad because on the show, they didn't really depict it as being too bad, because when we watched in Survivor Cambodia, the tribe that went to the beach that had nothing, that was like really a sob story of like how bad they had it over there.
It was the worst. It's when I hit low there. I hit a real low there. And I'll tell you, we all did. The first couple days there, we had to build the shelter. We're exhausted. Nobody's eating right. We couldn't get a fire going for 24 hours. When that scene, when Michaela makes the fire, and we all hugged her and she cried. I mean, the reason she cried was we were devastated that we had rice, we had everything. We could not get a fire going for 24 hours. It was too wet. I think it rained or something. It was like, we just couldn't get it going. So we had like tried. I tried, couldn't get it going. Jay was trying for hours, couldn't get it going. Now it's like almost like 11 o'clock noontime. She keeps trying. And I'm literally like, all right, enough with it. Just, we're not going to get it. And boom, she gets it. So it was like, it just brought us all back from like being miserable to being happy. And it's just such a great moment that they captured on TV where she's so overwhelmed that she actually did it, that she starts crying. She's such a great person. And she was so much fun to work with out there.
Yeah. So let me ask you about some of these millennials. So Michaela, sounds like you liked having her around.
Michaela's great because she reminds me of she just doesn't, like, she wears her heart on her sleeve. If she's mad, you know it. If she's happy, you know it. If she's and there's nothing she can't do. The girl, everything she puts her mind to, she kills, she crushes. It's fascinating to watch. Jay's a great guy. When I get out there, so like I said, Ikabula was horrible. The bugs were horrible at night. There was no shade during the day. It was just a horrible place. And like I said, I hit rock bottom there, being on the, you know, because it was just miserable. We were all just depressed and miserable. But the people were so great. Jay and I hit it off right away. We went looking for stuff to build the shelter with. He had it in his head what he wanted the shelter to be. I said, you go for it. I'll be the laborer because I'm done with building these stupid things. So you just tell me what to do and I'll help. So plus, I didn't want to come off bossy. I didn't want to tell them what to do, being that me and Sunday and I come over on the bottom. I wasn't going to step up and say, all right, listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm Brett LaBelle and blah, 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 blah. I wasn't going to do that. I was like, let me hang back. Let him make all the decision, since, you know, these four have already worked together over in the Millennials tribe. They can piss each other off. I'm just going to hang back. Me and Sunday are going to keep quiet. So we pretty much just did what they told us to do, which was fine. And I don't mean they didn't order us around or anything. Everyone was very kind and nice to each other. But I didn't want to come off as being this bossy guy telling them how to build a shelter, because I knew that would get me voted off right away. So Jay and I go looking for bamboo to build the shelter with. So he says, hey, this is great. A little change. And I said, yeah, well, I'm a little nervous because Sunday and I are on the bottom. Doesn't look good for us if we lose a challenge. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. He goes, you know, everything's up for grabs now. It's all changed. And I was like, oh, good. I like to hear that. I like to hear that a lot, you know. So, and then, you know, he was from, you know, I find out he's from Fort Lauderdale, which I have very good friends in Fort Lauderdale. I go down there a couple times a year. I know restaurants, bars, you know what I mean? And I knew a lot of the I hung out a lot of places. He's hung out. I knew some bartenders. He knew, you know, some people here, restaurant owners. So it was like we had a lot to talk about. And I told him about beaches I went to. He told me about beaches where he surfed. So we had so much to talk about. We really just hit it off, and we became good friends. Same thing with Will. Will was a real easy guy to talk to, real nice guy. He reminds me a lot of my nephew. So I really got along great with him. Sunday and him really connected because of the, you know, they're both the church-going people. So that was really good. And she was able to really connect with him and Jay, and I was able to connect with both of them. And then and Michaela would go on great, and, you know, Hannah was great. And everyone, you know, me and Hannah had the Massachusetts thing, so we had a lot to talk about, Cape Cod and stuff like that, because she goes down to Truro. I got a place in Eastham. So she goes to Truro. I got a place in Eastham. So we, you know, we know all the places down the beach together. So we all had a lot to talk about. We all got along great, and we were winning. And we were winning, and we were winning. And it really went well, and you know, we won some food challenges, we won some stuff, so everyone was real happy. And then, you know, we lost that one challenge, and it changed everything.
So before you guys lose the challenge, there's a lot of talk about Hannah gets suspicious about your job. She says she doesn't buy that you are a funeral director. I know in the blogs and the podcast, there was a lot of talk about why funeral director? What is this guy doing? Why is he talking about that? So could you get into about
yeah,
Rob, why
I'm
you
glad
got
you
into
brought that up. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because I got beat up a lot on this scene. Okay. I get beat up a lot by this whole Survivor community all the time during this show because I really believe that it's just because they don't like cops and they just, I'm going to make fun of a cop. So they're getting all excited because they can make fun of cops. Well, let me tell you something. It stops right here. Cause I'm going to tell you the truth.
It's over.
It's over. It's over. Take your personal hatred towards the police and take it elsewhere. We're talking Survivor here, okay? So, first off, I did work for a funeral home. I still do. I work for Gormley's, which is the oldest family-run funeral home in Boston, West Roxbury. I'm not a funeral director, however, but I do work, you know, I do the funerals. I help out, so when they need me. And so I do know the business very well. I also run the honor guard for the city of Boston Police Department. And we do all the funerals for retired officers, any, God forbid, any active duty. And I also do a lot of different ceremonies for the mayor and stuff like that. So I do know a little bit about what I was talking about. Actually, I know a lot about it. So I knew that I could go out there and if any questions came my way, I'd be able to answer them, which I did. Now, that day, Jay was sure from the minute we hit the beach. Now, they were on the millennial side. I was on the Gen X, obviously. But he was sure that I was a cop. He'd asked them at the when they had the summit with the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He had asked everyone, is he a cop? He looks like a cop. And they were like, no, he's a funeral director. So Jay was totally – if anyone's going to get credit for this, it's got to be Jay. Jay was on to it from day one, right? So Jay's brilliant. So he was like, well, I'll just – put Hannah on him. And then it doesn't look like I'm attacking him. So he tells Hannah, keep asking him if I'm a cop. Ask him if I'm a cop. You know what I mean? So Hannah starts, you know, instead of, actually he said, don't ask him about being a cop. Ask him about being a funeral director. Or maybe he was Will, one of them. So she comes to me one day. She's like, so tell me, she asked me like 50 questions. So after about the 50th question, I'm like, okay, I know what you're getting at here. But the next round of questioning was about cop funerals, which now I'm getting a little angry because, you know, that, you right. know, this is getting a little ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? But I know what she's getting at. Now she's trying to see me screw up by saying, you know. So she's asked me, what happens at a cop funeral? Have you ever done a cop funeral? I was like, okay, I know what's going on here. I'm not stupid. You know what I mean? I was born at night, not last night. So I'm like, I know that they think I'm a cop. I know that they think I'm lying about my job. But guess what? I'm not telling you nothing now. You know what I mean? Now we're at the point of no return. So I'm just going to stay. I'm going to, stick by my guns and I'm just going to keep answering questions. And that's what I did. And they were never, I don't think they were ever able to really say it 100% that I was a cop. So they went with it. And good thing that conversation happened then, because a couple of days later, I got put to the test and they actually, not put to the test by that, but just meaning that, you know, we lost the challenge. And I think if I had said to them, yeah, all right, you got me, I'm a cop, I think they would have voted me out.
Oh, wow. So I was going to ask, yeah. Do you think that you should have come around? I mean, we saw Tony go through this so much in season 28, where are you a cop? No, I'm a construction worker. And then he finally does come out and say that he's a cop. But I do feel like that to some degree, when you come out and you are sort of like honest with a person about a lie that you told, I do feel like that in some ways you can build trust with that person.
So Tony told another cop that he was a cop, right? And then yes. She got voted out very recently after that. So his secret stayed a secret, as far as I could tell. I saw how far he went without anyone knowing he was a cop. There's other cops have been on. Yes, I understand that. And yes, they've done well. But none of them won the million except the one guy that didn't say he was a cop. So I went with the fact that, you know, I think that people believe that we have these, like, extraordinary powers that we can tell when someone's lying, that we can. I mean, yeah. Can we look at cues? Cause we've been lied to every day of our careers. Yes. But I don't think that, like, you know, Jay lied a lot. And there was a lot of times I couldn't tell if he was lying or not. So, you know, I think people just get so nervous that cops can have this extraordinary power to tell when they're talking that I think that it would have freaked people out. And I think I would have been gone. That's the way I thought of it going in. That's the way I played it. And there was no way I was going to come clean to Hannah on Ikabula Beach. There was no way in hell. I grew up in Newton. She grew up in Brookline. I know all about it. There's no way I was telling her anything.
All right. So let's talk about this vote where Michaela went home, because it was such a huge moment in the season that, okay, Jay has an idol. She walked up on them. She knew that they had the idol, Will and Jay. And then she is telling them about how she's got the seashells. She's got this whole big plan of what's going on and that they're coming after. They put the votes on you in that one, right?
Yeah. They put the votes on me. To be honest with you, I honestly, my gut was that they were going to, because of challenges, I thought we didn't know that was going to be it. We weren't sure that there wasn't going to be another challenge. We had no idea when they were going to merge us. I mean, it still seemed too early to merge people. It seemed like there was a lot of people still in play. So we thought, I thought, Sunday's going to be screaming at the TV, but my personal opinion was they were going to go for her. Just because I thought I'd be, I thought they'd still be thinking of challenges. I was wrong. They were coming after me. But what happened was we come back from that challenge and we sat on that log for an hour. I've never seen anything like it. I don't think I don't even think the cameramen have ever seen anything like it. We sat there for so long and we didn't talk because we were so bummed out that we had to vote one of us out. And I think that's when we all realized how close we'd all become. And at one point, when it was just getting ridiculous, Michaela says, all right, well, let me talk to you all over here. And of course, we knew she meant the millennials. So they go off into this little rock formation and she sat down and did that rock scene where she goes through the numbers and it freaks everybody out. But I'm not so sure that that's what freaked everybody out. I'm pretty sure that Jay knew who was going to, you know, listen, they had some history over at the millennials. Don't forget that, you know, he's going to answer for the fact that Figgy went home and that everyone was yelling, vote Figgy. So, you know, after the merge, he has to sit back down with Taylor. So, you know, I think there was more in Jay and Will's strategy to voting her out than they're letting on. But either way, you know, right after we come back, we do that half an hour thing on the board there. They get up to go up. Me and Sunday, I said, well, I'm going swimming. And Jay says, yeah, Brett, you go swimming. I'll come talk to you afterwards. All right. I go, you guys talk what you want to talk to. I go, we're not going to play this game. You know, kind of joking. So I went out because I knew I had a feeling there was going to be a crack somewhere. Something was going on. And I actually thought it was going to be Hannah, because don't forget, she had just had a panic attack while she was watching a I have to remind everyone. And I'm not I feel awful for anyone who has anxiety. I'm not making fun of her in any way, but she was watching a challenge and she had a panic attack or something. So I thought, you know, maybe this was, you know, that showed a little bit of that maybe they were thinking, oh, maybe, you know, with more challenges coming up, maybe we should get rid of Hannah. I actually thought that's the way they were going to go. So when after their little meeting, I see Jay and Will come walking out. At this point, Sunday's a little disgusted with them. She's pissed off. She's sad because she thinks we're going to be one of us is going home. So she says, well, I'm going to go talk to the girls and see what I can come up with. So she walks into the beach. The two guys come out, Will and Jay come out to me, and they won't, they have their backs to Hannah and Michaela. Not that they could hear them anyway, but they didn't want them reading lips or something. But Will, Jay says to me real quietly, could you put another name down? And I said, absolutely. Give me the name. And he said, Michaela. I go, done. He goes, Will Sunday. I go, I can 100% tell you Sunday will put that name down. He's like, well, talk to her. I was like, okay. So, I mean, there was some other stuff in between, but paraphrasing it, I went and talked to Sunday and said, if I could tell you, we both could stay, because we're a little nervous. They're going to try and go for a girls thing. But I knew Sunday was on my side. She wouldn't want to vote me out. So I said, Sunday, you know, could you put Michaela's name down? And I said, I have a reason. I have something in play that we could both stay tonight. Would you do it? She goes, absolutely. And I said, just put Michaela's name down. Trust me on it. She goes, okay. And then Will come over and talk to her to confirm it. And I think she felt a lot better. And then that's what happened. So the second half of that day, I was fine. They told me just play like you're going home. So I was like, okay. And that's when he told me it was going to be my name was the other name, which of course sucks, but you know, it's the game. They write my name down twice and it gets me to the merge, it's worth every two names that were written down. You know, it's worth those two shots at me, you know? So, I would rather be my name than Sunday's, just, you know, whatever. So, off we went. And, you know, I was a little nervous, but I was fairly confident, very confident that we had the numbers, and I didn't really worry about it.
You've got a really great smirk on your face after the whole thing happens with Michaela, where she gives the, what? She's like, Jay, did you vote for me? And he's like, yeah, I did. I did it. And what was your reaction? Felipe Shimon had a question. What was going through your head when you watched Michaela react to her blindside?
Man, I knew it was going to be bad. I mean, I know Michaela, like, she's coming to see me in 2 weeks. She's staying at my house, and I absolutely adore her. But I also know how emotional she can be, and I knew this was coming. And, you know, I think nobody realized how bad it was going to. I said, she's going to flip out. You know, I said it to Will, and I think they agreed, but I think they were in shock at how bad it was. And I knew exactly how it was going to be. I couldn't even look at her. But there was a point when I actually thought she was going to hit him. I was like, she's actually going to assault him. And because that's how mad she was. And she didn't, to her credit. She was furious. And it showed. And I'll tell you, it made for great TV. And I left there and I told her since before the show aired, I said, Michaela, that is going to go down as one of the best tribal councils ever. And it did. And little did we know we'd have more of those. But I mean, at the time, I remember after the merge, I was telling everyone, oh, my God, you're never going to believe that was the best tribal council. She flipped out. It's going to be amazing on TV, you know. And so I said, you know, well, you'll never see another one like that. And then all of a sudden we went to rocks a couple weeks later, you know.
What was it like with Hannah after she was left out of that vote?
Yeah, I mean, she was upset. She was mad that they didn't tell her, but you couldn't have told her. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have told her. She would have gone. She would have told Michaela. She would have ran and done something. She wanted me out. I think. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what was going on through her mind. But, you know, they played some cute games on what would you do. You know, when we were sitting there waiting to go to tribal, and I was pretending like, you know, they were pretending that they were making a decision, Michaela and Hannah, they were grilling me on, well, what would you do with the money? Well, what would you do? And it was, you know, then they'd ask Sunday what she would do with the money. So by the time it was time to go, I was a little ready for them to, you know, someone to go. You know,
it was like the funeral director thing all over again with Hannah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like the, it's like, all right, we get it. One of us is going home. Don't play this. Like if I give the wrong answer here, you know? So it's kind of, you know, I guess.
Oh wait, it was like a final tribal council between you and Sunday about how they were making their decision.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But now at this point I had already talked to Will and Jay. So I knew I wasn't the one going home, but I had to play like I was. So it was kind of like, okay, so what would you do with the money? Okay, I'm trying to make my decision. And I was just like, it started to wear on me. It started to really wear on me. Do you know what I mean, Rob?
Yes.
And I was like, okay, all right. We'll keep playing this game, you know? And then, of course, the game got flipped around. So, I mean, I'm bummed out. I liked Mikhail a lot. We had some great conversations this week. But, you know, it was her or me. I was glad I didn't go home, you know?
Were you happy when you heard that she was going to get another chance to play? Because obviously, you know, you like her a lot.
I'm
you
ecstatic.
Feel bad. Yeah.
I'm really happy that she gets another chance to play. And I hope, and I cannot wait to watch, because if she can not show her athletic ability until after the merge, right? If she makes it to the merge, if she can tone that down a little bit, and if she can just not every thought that comes into her head, have it come out her mouth, like every emotion, if she could just tone it down a little bit, like when she doesn't like, but you got to respect her for it. When she doesn't like someone, she doesn't sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't blow smoke up your ass. If she doesn't like you, you know, she doesn't like you. You know what I mean? And I respect that. I respect that a lot, but that's not good for the game. So if she can hide that a little bit, and if she can just hide how good she is at challenges after the merge, she could almost win every challenge and run the gamut. And we haven't seen that in a while, but I'm telling you, she could do it. And also, you know, I think she came out too soon on our season. Like, she came out and showed her athletic abilities just a little too soon. It freaked everybody out, you know?
All right. Well, let's talk about the merge. And so I was thinking going into the merge that the Gen Xers were going to be able to maybe get back together if they could put their differences aside. And certainly at the beginning of the merge, you guys were able to do this. How were you able to overcome the differences from the original Gen X tribe, where obviously there's bad blood between your side and, you know, the Ken, Jessica, and David side?
Yeah. So, you know, there was bad blood, but we obviously realized we had the numbers now, and it was like, all right, we got to try to do something here. That was you know, I had definitely thought of going with, at this point, I was thinking about going with Jay and Will, and I was tossing around my ideas with Sunday about how far we get with them. But the problem was, is that when we came back, Jay and Taylor, Michelle, were all down, and Will were down for them, sitting on the beach, talking together. And I had told Jay that we would stay together after the merge. I said, don't worry about it. You know, we'll stay together. We'll pull in Chris, you know, but of course we get there. Chris is already working with Zeke. And that was kind of a, you know, so we're kind of on this two sides going already. Yeah. So I said, well, I still think I might do well with Jay. So, you know, but Jay wouldn't talk to me the whole day. Like, he'd come up, wink, and say everything's good. And it's like, what's good? What are we doing? Like, what's going on? So, like, by 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, I'm assuming it was afternoon, I'm like, no, something's not right here. They're not talking to me. Now we got tribal council coming up. Something's not, you know, you don't just wait till the end of the day. So then, you know, like an hour before tribal council or when everyone's done, he comes up and goes, him and Will come up and go, we're voting Adam. I said, Adam? Because that wasn't even a name. The name was Jess the last time I heard. He's like, no, Adam. Adam's coming after Will. I was like, this isn't right. I go, since when? I haven't heard about this all day. It's an hour before tribal council. No, we just found out. So you'll know, Rob, as a survivor, when someone comes up to you an hour before tribal and tells you something totally wacky that you don't foresee, you say to yourself, it's me. Something's not right here. You know, they're trying to pull a fast one on me. Something is up. So that's when I said, okay, I'm going with the Gen Xers. And I jumped on board. You know, and I'd already told Chris I was probably, we're working together again. But, I definitely had a choice here where I could go to either side, and me and Sunday. And we definitely decided, all right, we're going with the Gen Xers. And we had like a nice conversation with Jess, and she was all for it. And, you know, we knew we had to kind of swing the numbers our way before we kind of broke rank again, if we were going to.
Now,
you know,
I'm sure you've become very close with Sunday through the time at the Ikebula, not to mention the time that you guys spent in the beginning of the game. Did you guys have a final three deal together?
I think it was known. Sunday and I knew we were going to the final three together. There's no way I could have. Listen, there's only two people that were on all three islands. That was me and Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, we were on all three camps. There's only two people. You know, we went through a lot together. We voted together every vote after the Paul vote. Like we just were on the same page. I remind her of her brother, who's oddly enough is a cop. We got along really well. I just really liked her. She's a wonderful person. And I just knew I could trust her. When you find someone like that out there, you have to go with it because you know how hard it is, you know? And when you find someone that you can totally put all your trust in and they can put your trust in you, it's huge. So, we were definitely – that's a person – listen, did it roll around in my head? Okay, what point do you get rid of Sunday? But it was like – it's just one of those things where as – you know, we're so close and at every – vote, we got closer and we just rely on this person every day. And it was like, I got to the point where I was like, okay, we're just going to go to the end together. And I would have been happy with it. I really would have been, because it's like, if we got ourselves there, you got to just go off. You got to go in 100%. I felt, you know, and people might say that's a mistake, or if she won, and they might say I made the mistake if I won, or she made the mistake if I won. You know, I don't know.
Was there a lot of hesitation on your parts, though, to end up working with Jessica and Ken and David?
Yeah, so we tried to. I mean, we worked together with them on that vote. Okay. Yeah. I worked with David again later on the Will vote. So they don't show it, but me and Sunday went right up to David and said, all right, you want to work again? Let's do it. And I think now the Will vote might have been too soon, but it was one of those things where he was on the list, so it really didn't matter when he went home. And if we could get everyone to swing to it, we did it. But I worked with those guys, and I would have been open to working with them. But there was just this rift after the Paul vote. It's funny how everything comes back to the Paul vote. Nobody like people would trust and wouldn't trust, and David had his votes down to them. I guarantee he had it. He knew who he should work with the whole time and when not to. And so, I mean, he had his master plan, and I don't think we fit into it. So, but I would have worked with Jess, and I was trying to, but it just didn't feel right. There was just something, little things said. Ken's always acting weird, running around. So, I think it was just a line was drawn in the sand, and it's unfortunate that it was.
So you guys vote out Michelle, but then by the time it's going to be the vote where Taylor is going to go out, we see Sunday start to talk about, hey, maybe we should go for Jess here. Maybe that's the move to start taking out the other Gen Xers. And you were on board with that?
Oh, man, I was always on board to go with Jess. I felt like Jess at the time was I just always felt like I could never fully trust her vote. And if you can't fully trust the vote and you feel like at some point they're coming after you, I just felt like she needed to go. However, every day David's stock was growing on getting rid of him. Do you know what I mean? For me, mm-hmm. It was like, wait a minute. Like just shit. Like he just kept finding idols. He just kept doing crazy stuff. He kept, conversations he's having with different people. I'm like, all right, this kid's going to go.
But it was just more from like what he's doing game wise than personality thing.
Yeah, no, it was just what he was doing game wise. I just was starting to really worry about his game. I wasn't even privy that he was talking to Zeke. I didn't even really notice that. Mm-hmm. But, David is absolutely right to say that Zeke, there's a couple of people that Zeke and Hannah were just too open about talking to different people. And Zeke's awesome. Mm-hmm. Zeke's an amazing player. And if he can, that is one thing that it seemed like, with Hannah, I always called her, I started to realize she was flipping back and forth because she just was talking to everyone. She'd talk to you and the next minute she'd go talk to somebody else. And when you'd walk by her on the beach, there's actually a great shot of me walking by her talking to Adam on the beach. I think she's talking to Adam she's talking to David. And I literally just had a conversation with her. So I'm staring at her like, do you think I don't know what you're talking about over there? Like, and she'd look at you like a deer in headlights. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, you caught me. It's like, no, I know what you're talking about, So, but, a lot of them are doing that. Like, you got to be a little more, like Dave hit on it perfectly. You have to be a little more discreet when you're talking to the other side, Or if you're telling somebody that you're on their side and then you're running over and, you know, you have to be a little more discreet. So we lost a lot of faith in Hannah and or a lot of trust in Hannah really early on, you know.
When you guys are going to vote out Taylor, can you tell us how much you knew about Taylor's eating of the food?
Well, I mean, I heard him fishing through the thing. I heard jazz. I was watching him. I saw a jack go down to the, you know, we knew he had stolen food. Now, we also knew he was eating food, but I knew he was stolen food. Did I know to the extent that he had three jars? I mean, to me, if you get up in the middle of the night and raid the food, that is stealing. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, folks. But if we're not sitting, because when we eat together as a group, we'd sit down and divvy it out. Or here, you have some. I'll have some. Oh, do we have enough of these? Yes, we do. When you're up in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping and you're just heaving bananas in your dried bananas into your. And I look up and go, what are you doing, bud? And he says, oh, I got my stomach problem. I got a stomach problem. OK, well, guess what? We all do. And we all need those bananas. If you're still eating those bananas, you are stealing. OK, it doesn't have to be dug into the sand. It doesn't have to be hidden. So, no, did I know the extent that he had hidden the food? No, but I knew he'd stolen food. And we talked about it the next morning. I actually brought up on Dave. And when I saw the disgust in Dave and Ken was completely disgusted.
Yeah.
And here's one of the times that I actually had a great conversation with Ken. And I said, Ken, I don't know about you, but I'm disgusted with this. And he looked at me and he was like, dude, what is that kid thinking? And I said, Ken, I don't know, but I'm rooting to vote him out. I don't know what you are. And Ken was like, absolutely, let's do it. So it was like that was one of the things where it's like when people start stealing your food, everyone comes together on a vote. It was almost as easy as the Rachel vote.
At this point, also at that tribal council, that's when it really comes up that Adam can steal somebody's reward with this advantage that he has. Was that a big factor for you in changing how you viewed Adam and considering him a bigger threat, or wasn't that big a deal?
I mean, I guess it was, but it wasn't like to me, it was like, all right, so he got an advantage that if I had found, I would have. It's not like I didn't feel like he was sneaky because he had it. I think what bothered everyone was the fact that he knew about the hidden food. And and that definitely bothered everyone, but you know, he's saying that he didn't eat any. They're saying he did. It didn't really matter because I said it at the tribal council and I almost blew myself up by using a law word. But I said, you know, it comes down to we have a lot of wrongs here. And, you know, a lot of people have done wrong. I said, but we have to find out who's the most culpable. And I said, I think we all know who the most culpable is. And I was trying to convey to everyone, hey, I'm still voting for Taylor. Because he's the one that stole the food. You know, Adam did this, did that. It's minor compared to him. And, of course, you know, at this point, Adam and I had a side alliance. So I'm just trying to do anything I can to get people off of him. Because his name, you know, had come up from time to time because he was kind of running around, you know, playing the game. He was playing hard. So, at this point, I have a chance to say something to just say, hey, I'm not voting Adam. I'm still voting for Taylor. And everyone agreed. You know, even though, yes, Adam was wrong. I don't think it had anything to do with the advantage because anyone could have gotten that. And yes, he had it. Now we have to worry about it. But that wasn't a reason to vote against him. A reason to vote against him would be because he had also stolen food from us. However, he wasn't the one who actually stole the most food and didn't hide it. And you know what I mean? Sloppy gameplay. Sloppy gameplay on Adam's part to ever have thought he could trust Taylor. That I was shocked by, you know, I went, you know, I really like Adam, great kid. I thought he was a really nice person when I was out there with him. But I'll tell you, I put a lot of trust in him with stuff I was telling him and stuff I was doing. And to know that he ran up to a guy whose girlfriend he just voted out and spilled the beans about everything he had, it just flabbergasted me considering he didn't tell me and I was being trustworthy to him. So it seemed to me to be extremely sloppy gameplay to vote out Figgy. And the next thing you know, Taylor was, you know, from my recollection was Taylor was always gunning for him after that. And I know that him and Jay were not fond of Adam at all. So I just was shocked when I to think that he told, why would you tell him all that stuff after you just voted out his girlfriend? I was absolutely shocked by that.
Well, he said they were working together on something.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could think that I didn't think Taylor was working with me and I had good conversations with him. So I knew how much he was gunning for Adam. So I can't understand why Adam ever thought that they were working together. I think that was a really, really sloppy call, and that could have cost him the game, but it didn't. It all worked out for him, but I can't wrap my head around it.
Have we underestimated Taylor?
Unlikely.
That's such a great clip. I don't know, man. Maybe we did. Maybe I've totally underestimated Taylor, because if that's a genius of him, if he pulled that off.
You know what, though? I think there's probably something about him where people want to like open up to him. You know, he's like, all right, this guy is harmless enough. Let me open up to him and tell him what I've got going on.
Yeah, I think it's just a West Coast thing, man. I think they just think everything's, nothing against West Coast people. I love the West Coast, but there is no way if I vote out, put me in Adam's spot. Brett votes out Figgy. I am not, for the rest of the game, I am on pins and needles with Taylor. Mm-hmm. There is no way you can work with Taylor again. You can't. It's like the Paul vote with Jess. In the back of my mind, there's no way I can work with her again. I'm going to try to. I'm going to do what I can. There's just, it's too big of a blow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's too big of a blow to somebody to take out their number one person. And Taylor, I don't think, just had it in him to just let it go. You know, and I know he didn't, because they wanted Adam the first vote.
Yeah.
The first vote, you know? So I don't know. I think it was a very dangerous move telling him anything after what Adam had just done to him.
Okay, well, let's get into the round where Chris goes home, and I'm sure that you were upset to lose your friend at that point in the game, so we have to talk about this. So Chris ultimately is going to start to join you in Sunday to target Jessica. How did you get Chris to come on board at this point?
Well, I thought in Rob's world, I came on board with Chris because I was a pawn.
This is your story.
Yeah, I understand, but I was a pawn with Sunday, and we were following Chris's lead, I thought, right? Isn't that your story?
Look, all I have is the 42-minute show and secret scenes that I get. So, you know, this is what I am. this is where I get my information. I wasn't there.
I know. So, no, we had, Chris was definitely, I think we all knew the Jess thing was going to explode at some point, and we figured she was coming after us. So, again, I don't want Chris, Chris is, pseudo football player, got to be in charge type thing. So he is perfect for me to have around. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy is perfect to have around. And it's kind of like what me and, we loved having Paul around for the same reason, like all attention's on him. Well, now all attention's on Chris. So obviously I didn't want him to go. I wanted him to stay longer and keep that attention away from me. So, but yeah, no, we definitely all got together, and everyone started to think, okay, I think we can, we knew we had the votes for her now. Okay. We just taken out a millennial, two millennials. So we knew that we could take out a Gen X and not really affect us. We knew we could probably get Jay and Will on board for it. So we decided now was the time, and we did, we had the numbers. And once again, yeah, she gets sick,
yeah. So what went wrong here? What was it that, was it Chris trusting Zeke?
Yeah. So the thing with Zeke is when you're working with Zeke, and we'll get to that later, because we'll talk, but like Zeke is, yeah, like obviously Zeke's stock was up with Chris. I think, and Zeke will even admit this. I mean, we've definitely discussed this, because Zeke's a good friend of mine now. He should not have gone. The Chris vote should not have come down yet. And I think Zeke would agree with that. It was a little early for the Chris vote. But for whatever reason, Chris was a big player. Chris brought a lot of attention to himself. And, they got him.
Do you feel like that you guys should have gone with Sunday's plan from the previous vote and tried to get rid of Jess when Taylor went home?
No, because I don't think we would have had the votes for it.
Yeah. Was it too early to target Jess here? Because
I think it was, we just come out. It all went, we had, after the merge, we did the Michelle vote. We all came together on it. So it was kind of like, oh, okay, maybe we can work together. Now comes the Taylor vote. That was easy. Everyone was bullshit. So now we're working, Ken and everyone's all on board. So now we've got two votes where we're all voting together. And then it was like, now it comes down to, okay, now who are we going after now? And, you know, we start to see her talking to people. She sees us talking to people. You can kind of feel that old things are kind of, you know, it just, I think it just kind of happened. And we thought we had a shot at her and we could blindside her. And so I don't think we would have gone after her at the Taylor vote. And with Taylor stealing the food, I mean, that was like, it was just happening and it was all kind of happening. People were pissed. So we just kind of rode that, you know. But yeah, I mean, maybe we should have taken her out then. Maybe it would have been more of a blindside. I don't know.
Because maybe you have Taylor and then maybe Will stays on board if you have Jay and Taylor both on your side. But who knows? Did you know going into that vote that it was a chance Chris was going to go?
I mean, I would say no, I didn't think he was going to go home. I thought for sure we had the numbers for that vote.
Yeah.
I thought for sure we had the numbers for that vote. And that was a blind side to me. And it was one of the times I'm back on the bad side, you know?
So Chris is gone now at this point, and let's get into this talk of where I said, okay, well, now here comes Zeke coming in to pick up these two pawns that were left over. So, all right. So, and then I felt like also David looking at you guys as two pawns as well. So from your perspective, how did you guys see what was going on with you and Sunday?
Well, we knew that we had gone after Jess. So we knew that Jess was working with Dave. So we knew that we didn't, you know, we knew that we weren't, you know, to go with David was a tough move for us because, you know, I didn't think our stock lasted long. So as much as it sucked that Chris was gone, you know, listen, Sunday and I had talked about, okay, at some point Chris is going to have to go because we can't beat him. You know what I mean? So at some point he's going to have to go. So we'd all discussed it. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. We have to stay. We need him for a little bit more. I was very adamant with Sunday that this was not the time for that. And let's not even talk about it. So when he goes home, it's like, okay, well, that's good because he's on the jury and I didn't put him there. So, all right, let's move on. I have to work with Zeke. And I was like, if Chris sees me working with Zeke on the jury, it doesn't matter because he knows I have to stay alive in this game. So I said to Sunday, we got to work with Zeke. David is too dangerous we still think in our heads Jess is after us for whatever reason. Maybe it was more us after her. I don't know. But we had this feeling that she was going to come at us. So I was like, we have to go with Zeke because, you know, and I knew Zeke was, and when Zeke was so open to talking to us, and he was, and he actually came up to us right after the vote and said, can I talk to you? We went down there and I said, Zeke, I want to work with you. First of all, I know he's another gay guy. So I know he's trusting me and he wants to work with me, but I knew that I could strengthen those bonds later. You know what I mean? So I knew that we had a lot in common. I knew that we could probably go pretty far together, but I also know that Zeke was strategic and was showing how strategic he was. So I said, you know, I referred to him in a confessional. It never aired, but I said, playing with Zeke is like playing with a great white shark. You're swimming with a great white shark. At some point, the shark's going to swim in you. You're going to have a good time. Everything's going to be fun. At some point, that shark is going to turn on you and try to eat you. Mm-hmm. So you have to take him out, that shark, before he takes you out. So I knew I probably had two or three votes, probably two. The third one might have gotten a little dicey. But I knew I had two or three votes with Zeke before I'd have to turn on him. So anything to get myself a little further in the game was great. So I started working with Zeke, right? And we immediately, he's like, listen, guys, I had to get rid of, you know, Chris because blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I think it's a little too early. But we had both discussed at some point Chris would have to go. We're cool with it. We can't work with them. We want to work with you. Let's move forward in this. He was for it. Everything looked good. We had Jay and Will, me, Sunday, and Zeke. Okay.
Did you have animosity towards him, though, after he ended up flipping against Chris?
You know what? At this point of the game, animosity's out the window. Yeah. I think I liked Zeke. I had great conversations with him. I knew what a threat. I think it was water under the bridge. I got to be honest, Rob. It sucked that he was gone. But I think in this game, and especially in this new game, you can't dwell on the fact you can't have animosity, you know, even though it's weird I say this because I did with Jess, but with Jess, I was in an alliance. I was not really in
you were in a trust cluster,
a trust master cluster muck. So I don't know. For some reason, I was able to move on and I did not have animosity towards Zeke. And I also knew in the back of my mind that I was going to be a lot closer to Zeke than Zeke thought he was going to be to me. Okay. And I was going to make it much harder for him to vote me out.
All right, let's talk about that. So then this is when you go on the reward with David and Zeke and Sunday. So the way that you're talking about this moment, it almost sounds like that you knew that this was coming eventually and you were waiting for the perfect moment to strike and drop your bombshell on Zeke.
Well, I wouldn't say I was striking or dropping bombs. I will say that I knew...
But it seems calculated, I should say.
Well, listen, I wanted to tell him from day one. I just didn't get what I said after the merge, I'd like to tell him because I knew that would, you know, it would give us something in common, you know, because listen, he comes out there wearing these crazy shirts and he looks like a nut and he's and his hair's all over the place. And I called him. I says when the first time I met when I wrote him in my book, we were at finals. I said it was the Giorgio Tsakalos of Survivor, who's, I don't know if you know him, the Ancient Aliens guy, but like his hair was all up and everything. So I was like, it's Giorgio Tsakalos of Survivor. So, but I was like, I am not going to identify with this guy. But once I get to know him, I was like, I have to, like, this is, he doesn't, if I think I can't identify with him, I'm sure he doesn't think he can identify with me by looking at me. I said, but once he gets to know me and talks to me and sees how friendly I am, and then once I tell him this, then he'll know, oh my God. Like, you know, it would just definitely make us a bond. So I had been wanting to talk to him after the merge. We just never had a time alone. That was like the perfect time alone. It turned into a beautiful moment. And what a great guy. I'm so glad that I told him. And I think it changed his whole view on me. You know, not that it should. I'm just saying it. You know, a lot of these millennials, they judge you before they know you.
Well, you think that's the opposite.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, isn't that the rap on the Gen X?
You would think it was the opposite, wouldn't you? You would think it was the opposite, but it's not.
Yeah.
They assume you're a cop and that you hate everybody, but that's not the truth.
Were you surprised that what an impact this moment made on Jeff? Even during the season, he talked about how this was like when he first saw the footage on this, you know, he was calling people up about how this was one of the most touching things he's ever seen on the show. Were you surprised by the response?
I was shocked. You know what, though? I'm so glad that that's how that scene came out, because that's how I live my life. I don't dwell on it. I'm not, you know, I don't want to make it a big thing. I'm not the gay cop. I'm the cop that happens to be gay. And I don't want to, like, I'm not here to get on a soapbox and tell you how you should treat me. I just want to be treated like everybody else. And I'll tell you, the funny thing was, like, that was exactly how I would do it in real life. I'd be sitting down having a couple of beers and I would just tell my friends and it'd be no big deal. And it's not, it isn't a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal, but in my, you know, being an older guy, it's always been in my head. I've always been nervous about it. So, but that's how I would have told everyone. And I'm glad that's how America got to find out. You know what I mean? Just like a nonchalant couple of guys having a beer on a beach, laughing it off, you know, because I laugh about it all the time. I joke about it and stuff like that. So I thought it was a great scene to hear Jeff say how much he thought it was a great scene. I mean, to be a fan of this show since the inception and to hear the host, Jeff Probst, say that it was his favorite scene of the millennials and Gen X, and this, that he sent it to Mark Brunette and he sent it to all these producers saying how great he thought it was. I mean, you kidding me? It's an unbelievable feeling. It's an unbelievable feeling. And I'm so grateful that I did sit down and finally tell Zeke. I'm so glad that I was able to enjoy that scene with such a great person.
It was a really great moment. And even like from the night that it happened, Steven and I were talking about, you know, what a just a great episode and great 2 hours to that whole night before Thanksgiving was.
Yeah, I will say that I know that I appreciate Fishback said some really nice things after that. And I think one of them was that like not one of the best 2 hours of Survivor ever? And I'll tell you, I can't thank you guys enough for all the kind things you said about it. And I still think I should have gotten a fishy. Yeah. Go on.
Okay, well, we wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. But going back to the 5-5 tie, which is about to go down, were you prepared mentally of what was about to go down?
Yes, I knew going in it was going to be a 5-5 tie. We all knew. There was a feeling going around. Everyone kind of had an idea that it could be a tie and that we were going to go. And, you know, I knew that. Listen, I'd woken up. We were all running numbers in our heads. We're all starting to go a little crazy. And I got everyone down there, Will, Jay, Sunday and Zeke. And I said, guys, this is it. If we don't stay together tonight and if we lose this, they're going to pick us off one by one. And it's over. And that's how we all went into that. If we don't get through this vote tonight together, it doesn't matter what you want to do next time. It doesn't matter what you want to do two times from now. You're not getting anywhere, none of us, if we don't get through this vote. And, you know, I think we all saw it, including Will. And, you know, I keep hearing this stuff about Will's going to flip, but I think Will, I don't think Will's going to flip, because I think we all knew if we get through here, then we could start doing whatever we wanted to do. You know what I mean? If we had some great plans, you do it after, once you have the numbers. So I think we all went in there saying, we're not budging, we're sticking to it, and if we go to Rocks, we go to Rocks.
How did it end up being Hannah? Did you have any say in who the person you guys were going to put the votes on their side?
Yeah, because at this point, we could tell that she's playing both sides, and everyone's getting very frustrated with her. And it was an easy vote. You know, it's just like, all right, if we can't trust her and she's flipping back and forth, she's going to go. So it was like, just throw the names on her, you know. And I'll tell you, when David plays the idol and he plays it for himself, and then Adam says, no, they're talking Ken here, which is another stupid move. Like, who would think that Sunday's going to give him the right thing? But and I'm not picking on him, but it's like Sunday was the one who orchestrated. Sunday came up with that the last second. It was like a split second thing, and it was brilliant, you know. And it fooled Adam, and it played great on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm not beating up on Adam. He's a great kid. I like him. Good guy.
The best.
The best. He is. No, he is a good, great kid. I mean, really, really sincerely a wonderful person and a good friend.
Would you have been okay if you went out of the game on the Rock draw? You were going to be able to live with that?
Oh, yeah. Can't you see my face?
Yeah.
Watch it again. I was like, there's no, because what happened, what you guys don't see is, Dave came in aggressive, and he came in, and this is what really angers me is all the hate I got after this. He came in extremely aggressive and told everyone to empty their pockets and blah, blah, blah. So we're like, what? And he was like honest, and he's like, come on, I want to see who's got the idol. And I said, no, you empty your pockets. And we kind of went back and forth, and then he comes at us, and then me and Zeke, you know, we react to it, and we kind of give him, I was like, oh, why don't you go cry in the corner, Dave, with your anxiety? So, you know, and I shouldn't have said that, but, you know, he was so on us, and I was like, I was shocked, because I'm like, who is this guy? Now I'm starting to realize this guy is not who he claims to be. He doesn't have anxiety. He's attacking us. You know, he's not scared of his own shadow. Like, what is going on here? It's all kind of came up at this moment. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the edit doesn't show that, because they're not ready to show Dave. You know, Dave's character's evolving in his written character, but they're not, CBS is not ready to show it, apparently.
Yeah, well, and people were really upset about this. That we got a lot of mail about this, that people really were upset.
Yeah, what they don't understand is Dave and I are really good friends at this point. Like, every morning we're getting up and talking, even though we're kind of playing both sides, we're playing different sides. We're not on the same side. We still had a lot of respect for each other, and we got along. What, you know, the thing is you know, he keeps telling you how nervous and scared he is. And then he comes in and was literally like extremely aggressive at Tribal. And we're like, who is this guy? This is not the guy that, and now he's like continuing to attack us. And I was like, what is going on here? So I feel bad but you got to understand when you're reacting to, you know, somebody attacking you, you just let stuff fly. And, you know, obviously, you know, I respect David a lot. I did throughout the show. I was very kind to him in many ways, and I just was agitated. And when I'm agitated, whatever comes into my head is coming out my mouth. I'm very much like a Michaela in that way.
Yeah. So how were you able to restrain yourself when Jessica pulls the white rock?
I didn't really restrain myself. So if you'll see on my face, I have it in my hand and I'm like, let's go. I'm ready. I was ready to accept whatever came down. I was like, I knew my game couldn't go much farther if we didn't win, if we didn't get through this. And I knew that we had a good shot that they'd pull the rock. I mean, I can't remember exactly what the numbers are. That might have been more in their favor than ours. But she pulls the rock and I was like, oh, bingo, because we were trying to get her out anyway, you know. And I was like, oh. I remember it specifically went down like I'm sitting there. I got my arm out. I got Will to my right and Sunday to my left. And I look. So Jeff says, open. I open my hand and I see the white rock. I look to my left. Sunday's got a white rock. I look to my right. I go, Will's got a white rock. Oh, we're looking good here. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, God. And then Adam yells out, it's Jess. Jess has a black rock. And I was like, bingo. And the funny thing was, like, Adam feels so bad and it was horrible. And I did too, but you can understand we're on different sides. So it was like for her to go home at this point, we were gunning for her anyway. So, and you know, she was devastated and it's sad because she played a great game and she's a great person. And I did feel bad. You know, I feel bad that anyone went home. But in the same respect, it's only like the third time that anyone has ever gone to Rocks. We all played hard. We knew that if we gave in, we were screwed. If we gave in, we all knew if we gave in to the other side, we were screwed. So we all said, "Know what? We're going to let the game handle it." And I'll tell you, if I got the black rock, as sad as it would be, as much as it would have sucked, I drew the black rock. I mean, I don't. To me, it's a ballsy move. It's a move where you're saying, "No way, we're not giving in. We're not gonna jump ship." Now, was it stupid for her? Maybe it was. Maybe she, because I tell you right now, I probably, you know, if she had switched to our side, that would have changed everything. And maybe we could have worked with her again.
It would have unrung the Paul bell.
Yeah. To get rid of Hannah, that would have definitely unrung the Paul bell. You're absolutely right. Brett LaBelle says, unring the Paul bell and jump on board and vote for Hannah.
Okay. So after this, you got to feel like, hey, we're made in the shade now. Here we go. Final five, baby.
Yeah, I thought we had it made. I thought we were in great shape. Just keep everyone together. But this is a game of new Survivor, and you can never keep everyone together.
Yeah.
Ever.
All right, the pendulum strategy.
This strategy, that strategy. I need to have a big move. You can't have a big move. I mean, at this point of the game, if you don't have a big move, at this point of the game, you have to just hold tight and try to get yourself to the end. If you do a big move and you get yourself voted out, you don't win $1 million. The point is yes, big moves are wonderful. Big moves are great. But if you haven't made a big move, don't worry about it. You'll find out another reason why you deserve $1 million. You know what I mean? To explain it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I tried to do big moves and they blew up in my face. The Jessica move, that would have been a big move at the time. She got saved in an idol. Did we have the votes? Yes, we did. But she got saved by David's idol. So there was all kinds of stuff. But it's like, what are you going to do? You know? And I think that Will could not get that out of his head that he needed a big move, and I think it ruined his game. Also, Hannah could not get out. She had to have a big move, and, you know, it made for a lot of problems on our end.
All right, so when you start to catch wind that Will is thinking about going to the other side, is the first you hear about this when Ken comes and talks to Jay?
Yep. I was in shock. I was just like, this. If there was ever a thought in my mind that Ken didn't have a clue what this game was about, it was all confirmed with that conversation.
So what did you say to Will?
I said, "Bud, what are you thinking? What's going on here?" I said, "What good is a big move if you're voted? You know, this is not. We need to stick together, okay? You have to. If you want to get further in the game, I go. They are going to pick us apart. If we lose the numbers here, they will pick us apart one by one." He didn't want to hear it. He wanted to do Zeke for whatever reason. He had to get Zeke out. It was his big pendulum swing move, and then he was going to go after David. I don't know. I guess, and more power to him. It was a great try, good move, but it didn't work, and I think it hurt us all.
Did you feel like that you were making any progress with him as you spoke to him?
No, because the problem was at this point that, he felt like we were all talking to him as a child and that we didn't understand. And you know, there was some talk about, you know, and it was just ridiculous. You know, maybe that was the truth, but, we weren't talking to him as a child. We were just trying to get to the end, you know, I don't know. Maybe he felt like Jay was doing all the big moves. I mean, there was also a thing where, which they didn't show, where he tried to get Jay to play the idol for him and Jay wouldn't play it. So maybe that ticked him off. I don't know. There was all kinds of stuff going on. But I think it was a huge mistake. I really do. I think if he wanted to flip or do something, he should have waited one more vote, you know? And another thing that's interesting is, as I think Will has been saying that he wanted to take me and Sunday to the end, which would have been, I think that would have been detrimental to him. Although he would have gotten some, millennial votes, and me and Sunday might have split the Gen X votes. But the only thing with that is he never spoke to me about that. So if he had any interest in, like, I talked to everyone that I had interest in going to the end with, I don't know why he wouldn't have mentioned that to me, because I might have worked a little closer with him, you know?
So at this tribal council where Zeke is going to go out, Adam plays the idol for Hannah, where you guys are going to be putting your votes, even though it's not enough votes to send her home. Were you at least happy that Adam played his idol here?
Yeah, that's right. He plays the idol for himself, right? No, who do you play it for?
For Hannah.
Hannah. Yeah, no, no. Anytime anybody plays it for somebody I'm trying to vote out pisses me off. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. The whole idol thing is just ridiculous. You're out there playing with your heart and soul. There's more idols flying around. There's advantages. There's this crazy crap. And, I mean, we're getting down to the end here. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. And to see that, it just wears on you. It weared on me then. And I'd never see more people playing idols for different people. It was just getting crazy.
Yeah. Well, even though you guys didn't have enough votes for Hannah, at least you got an idol out of the game.
Yeah. No, that was a plus that the idol was gone, you know? And it just gets frustrating because the same people that find idols find them again. And, you know, there's really only three people that found idols, so they kept finding them. So it was frustrating as hell.
So now when Will is going to go out on that next vote, I mean, how do the lines of communication reopen between you and Sunday and the other side, where you guys have been in this, you know, blood feud for a couple of votes now? Where does that come from to all vote against Will?
Well, we get back to the thing. We get back to the camp. And I think, you know, we said, well, what are you doing? And he came over, so I want to talk to you guys. And so we said, okay. So he brings us over and we start talking. And I said, what's up? And he said, he started talking to us like we were children. He's like, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And don't worry, you guys are safe. And the next one voted out will be this and this. And he went through this whole thing. And we're looking at him like, huh? He was talking to us like we were children. And I could tell Sunday didn't really like it. And I guess maybe he was, you know, maybe he was talking to us the way he felt we'd talk to him. I don't know. But regardless, he didn't. That conversation didn't go well for us. So the next morning, you know, we slept on it. And the next morning we literally, because me and Sunday were up early and we're watching the sunrise. And she said, you know, I'm not too keen on this. And, I don't like the way he talked to us. And I said, no, I don't either. And she says, why don't we go talk to Adam and let's try to go for him tonight. And I said, okay. So we went and we searched for Adam. And of course we found him at the watering hole with no water bottle looking for an idol. Mm-hmm. But it was a good time to talk. And, that's actually a great secret scene. I don't know if you saw it, but, I said, So Adam's like, oh my God, this is, you know, later on you see him say, oh my God, this is wonderful. They want to take, it's like, yeah, okay. We wanted to take out Will because at that point it's a flipper. And when, you know, now you don't know where he's at, you don't know where his head's at. You know, we just figured we could get the votes for him. So let's just take him out now.
Did you ever consider though, at this point where Jay and Will want to go after David, that's the next spot in the pendulum strategy of if you and Sunday go off.
Yeah, but the problem is they never came and talked to me about the pendulum strategy. So the problem with Jay and Will was they didn't come and explain that to me. They didn't have those kind of conversations with me where they would just come and tell you a name. Well, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's why you don't just come and give me orders. You know what I mean? If we're going to be together and work together, you have to work. Whenever I was working with someone, I had long conversations with them. I made sure I checked in with them a couple times a day. You don't have to like sit there and have long conversations. Just check in. And when you're not getting told till 5 minutes before tribal, that just doesn't count. That doesn't go. And if you're stupid enough to let it go, just be prepared. It's probably going to be you.
So then when you guys end up getting rid of Will, do you look at Will as a number for them? Or is this just sort of like a payback vote?
I think it's a payback vote. And I'm not so sure it was the right time, but it went down. We were able to pull in David for a vote and work with him. So that was good. But looking back, it was definitely a payback vote. And I think it was just at the point where we just couldn't work with them. And I knew we could get the votes on the other side. So just do it.
Okay. So now Will is gone and you guys are down to this final seven at this point. This is when the other side is basically trying to decide, should they get rid of you or Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's almost like you wonder, maybe we should have waited on the Will vote. But here's the other thing is, you're trying to make everyone happy. So you try to go with a vote that's going to make everyone happy. At that point, there was a lot of people that wanted Will gone at that point. So, yeah, but yeah, I mean, now it comes down to me and Sunday. So maybe in hindsight, maybe we were a little hasty with that vote.
Yeah, I mean, if you and Sunday go with Jay and Will, I mean, that at least gets you four votes. I mean, you're headed potentially to another tie if it's 4-4, but maybe somebody on that side decides, hey, let's get rid of David at this spot. Maybe this is our chance.
Yeah, but I think we thought, you know, like I thought I was like I had a pretty good alliance with Adam. I was hoping to take him to the end. So I don't know. I just don't think I saw the numbers as dire as they were. And I also think that we were very nervous about Jay and Will getting too much power because Jay was very dangerous to win it. He's extremely good at challenges, and he was also really good at talking to people. He's a real good guy. And so I think we were just nervous about them two getting too strong towards the end. And I don't know. There was just a lot going on, but you know, now it comes down to me and Sunday, but I wasn't privy to that vote. So
at this point where this is the vote where Jay's going to play his hidden immunity idol, what are you guys trying to do that you and Jay are going to vote for David? Sunday votes for Jay, who's seemingly with you guys. So what were you thinking at that point with the final seven? Like, what was the plan?
Final seven. Who are we gunning for? We're gunning for David, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So who flipped on? It must have been Hannah must have flipped on us or something. I can't. Somebody must have flipped on us.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right. We were going for David because I had sat down. Sunday had talked to Hannah. Now, she had a pretty good relationship with Hannah. And we thought Hannah was voting. This is one of the big flips. We thought that she was definitely voting with us. No, hands down, no problem. She understood that David was the biggest threat. So we had, as far as I knew, we had him in our sights. Now, why did she vote Jay? Because we wanted to flush the idol. That was the deal. It was like everyone was worried about Jay having an idol. I was like, well, let's tell him he's going home. We'll flush the idol. And then if he doesn't, I think we thought David had an idol too, because I always played that David had an idol. So we said, all right, well, if David pulls an idol, Jay goes home because we throw a vote to him or something like that. That's what I think the thinking was. We thought there was two idols out there, and we always assumed David had one. So I think we just wanted to vote on Jay just to try and get him out too. I can't exactly remember. Sunday you would probably know exactly what it was. But I will say that that's when Hannah flips. That's when we totally knew that she was untrustworthy. And she comes back and tells me she saved me and, you know, how I owe her. And that's when I said, listen – she goes, I did that. I got rid of Sunday. I'm like, oh, you did? No, you just listened to David. That's what you did. So, but here's the thing with, you know, what I learned with Hannah was she was also trying to make a big move. So her big thing was, this is the time to take out David. We had the numbers. I'm not going to take him out this time. I'm going to save David, but I'm going to come after him next time. And then I look like I took care of him. I took him out. Mm-hmm. So I can say I did it instead of it. It's like, you know, and it comes down to my big scene about the, you know, when you have him in your sights, you take him out. You don't wait another day because you give David another day, he's going to take him. You give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. And I was very concerned that he would get to the end. And I thought, let's get rid of him and the rest of us can fight it out, you know? So
That's a good note in terms of like just playing like a team that just get rid of the threats and don't be so concerned about, you know, who's getting the credit for the move. But that side also then got to the end. So I don't really know what the best way to go is.
Well, yeah. But the thing is it was very dangerous for her. I mean, it wasn't dangerous for her because she wasn't going to win. But, you know, it was dangerous for the rest of us because the closer he got to the end, like, first of all, he beats everyone. We all had decided that. Like, we all knew what a great game he played. We all knew what a great guy he was. Even though we were all gunning for him, we all liked him. I vote for him if I'm out. That's what I said. I would vote for him. So it was like you had to get David out. And the rest of us were a little more on an equal plane. So it was like, if we got to get rid of the guy that's definitely going to win, and then we can all figure out, all the rest of us can figure out, you know, where to go from there. But if you keep this guy in, none of us can beat him. Why are we keeping him in the game? And I explained that to everybody, and everyone agreed. And, you know, I even tried to explain it to Ken, but Ken, you know, you knew Ken was voting with David. So it was like it was neither here nor there. But like, you know, Hannah, she had a better shot against me or she should have thought she had a better shot against me or Adam than she would against David or Jay, you know? Mm-hmm. So my two people that I wanted out was I need to get David out. I need to get Jay. And I started gunning for David hard. And I guess I, you know, probably should have calmed down on that a little bit, but.
All right. So now Sunday is gone. And now here you are at the final six. I mean, do you have like a Hail Mary plan to get to the final three at this point? Or are you just feeling it's just like, you know, vote by vote?
No, it's vote by vote at this point. But it comes down to trying to talk to people. Ken is extremely hard to talk to, especially when you know he's, you know, he's not going to turn on David. But I knew that Hannah wasn't stupid. I mean, this girl was smart. She went to good schools. You know, she's been to college. So I was like, she's got to understand this. So I actually, you know, and then Adam understood it. Adam understood it perfectly. And I was cool. You know, Adam and I were voting together now at this point, you know. So, you know, we both realized that it should have been Dave or Jay. And so the next time everyone wants Jay. So I was like, all right, well, he's just as big a threat. Let's get rid of him. So we get rid of Jay. But now it comes down to final five. And it's like it has to be like he shouldn't have gotten this far, Dave. He has to go. So everyone keeps putting it off. So I literally said to Hannah, you cannot beat him. I can't beat him. Adam can't beat him. Ken can't beat him. Nobody can beat him. Why is he still here? Let's do him tonight. And she was agreeable and blah, blah, blah. And my thing was, if I get rid of Dave, there's nobody that can beat me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to win this. I'm going to win $1 million. Like, all I need to do is we got rid of Jay. We just got to get rid of David. And if I can get to the final four and then, you know, hopefully win or do something. But even if Adam and I team up and we knock out Hannah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen.
You're at the final five. David doesn't win immunity. And here you are. You're ready to go. You've got Adam on board with the plan. And Hannah is going to be this third vote to ultimately take out David. So now you knew Adam had the idol here at the final five, right?
Yeah. So Adam goes running into everyone's looking for it. But you got to understand, it got played the night before. Nobody is expecting. I was really skeptical that they would put another one out. There was a lot of talk about that they wouldn't. Would they? We don't know. I honestly didn't think for sure that they were going to put one out. So when Adam finds it and he shows it to me, I'm like, why is he even showing it? Like, I wouldn't show it to any. If I got the idol on day 37, I'm showing it to nobody. I'm putting it in my pocket and I'm listening to everyone and deciding which way to go with it. Right.
Yeah.
Adam shows me, though. I'm like, OK, well, that makes sense. We've had an alliance since the merge. OK, so that makes sense. He trusts me. I go out doing survivor things. We're looking for wood. And I happen to be closer to David and Hannah than I think they believed. David turns to Hannah and goes, does he? And Hannah goes, he does. And I go, this sounds kind of fishy. You know, yeah. I think we actually talked about this before. So I run back to Adam and I say, did you tell Hannah that you found the idol? He goes, yeah. Like, I'm like, why? First of all, why'd you tell me? And why'd you tell her?
Yeah.
Like, why are you telling anyone? Just keep it in your pocket and shut. Like, nobody has to know it's there. And now I know it's me. Like, it's just, there's no way, you know. So then it's like, all right, I'd already talked to David. Like, he wanted to go after Adam earlier that morning. I was like, hey, I'll do that. You know what I mean? Like, I would have done anything at that point to get the final four. So I had such great hopes. The minute he finds that idol and Dave finds out about it, those three are gunning for me. You know what I mean? So, again, I say, well, the only person that can save me now, because I know Adam's voting with me. I know I'm voting with me. I'm going for Dave. He's going for Dave. We have to get one more person. Ken is impossible to talk to. He doesn't. He just wants to fish and play with his abs. So I said, OK, I will go to Hannah. It's the only person that can save me now. And she needs to understand that keeping Dave in could cost her $1 million. We are so close right now. So I went to her and I said, listen, you can't beat Dave. I can't beat Dave. Adam, Ken cannot beat Dave. We need to get rid of Dave, and then the rest of us. What is the difference? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, get rid of him, and you have a better shot against me and a shot against Adam. Now, Dave's saying, well, Brett's really likable, and he's right. I had a lot of friends on that jury. But I'm telling you right now, all my friends vote for Dave if I'm up against him. Dave wins the $1 million. There's no doubt in my mind. So I couldn't have said it more times. But Hannah didn't go with it, and There it is. She didn't. And she obviously made the wrong move because she didn't get one vote at the final draft.
And she wants her big move.
She wants her big move.
Yeah.
She wants to take him out, you know, and I, you know, more power to her. Hannah's a good kid. She played a great game. But it was a huge mistake taking him that far, you know, yeah. Because I don't know.
It's interesting, though, what you're saying about Adam, about how he trusted too many people in the game. And I think that's an interesting strategy. And I don't know if it's an age thing, but it seems like, you know, he's very willing to trust people, which is certainly a gamble. But it is a gamble that ends up paying off for him really big when he ends up winning with 10 votes. It would seem like that everybody felt like that at different points, Adam trusted them. And it comes back to him in like a pays off really huge.
No, you're right. I mean, let's put it that way. Let's put it this way. Him telling everybody that he has the idol hurts me, not him. So, I mean, you know, it all comes down to, yeah. I personally think that a lot of times with being that honest about things might blow up in your face. So I'm telling you, me, I would not have told a soul, and I would have kept that very close because it's so powerful. It's so powerful to find an idol on day 37 going into Final Four. Like, you can just do so many different things with it. And if nobody knows you have it, you know, but listen, it all worked out for him, but it couldn't have. What if David won Final Tribal? You know, he would have lost the whole game. So my point is, you know, he thinks going up with taking me that he could beat me. I think I could beat him. That's fine. But if you don't, you know, you can't beat Dave, and we just took him a little too far, and it got very scary. If Dave did win that last, I'll hit poor Dave. If he just day 38, he wins immunity, he wins the game.
What I think is interesting, though, is that you are almost like the opposite of Adam, where Adam was going to overshare and he was going to work with people that sort of screwed him over, where you were a person that's going to keep things much more close to the vest. You weren't going to tell people about your job. You weren't telling people about how you were gay, and then you didn't want to work with, like, okay, Will, I know I can't trust him. I'm done with him. Jessica, I know that I can't trust her. I'm done with her. So I just think it's sort of interesting between the two of you of two different approaches, and then going back to the millennials and Gen X thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I worked with Will. I would have kept working with Will. I think it was that there was a lot of people going against Will. So it was kind of like one of those things where you kind of get mixed up in the, you don't want to resist too much because some of the people you're working with are gunning for Will. So you kind of go with it. I don't think I couldn't have worked with Will again. I think I could have, but I don't, I mean, yeah, I get, I you're totally turning this around on me, and I totally see what you're doing, but
I'm not doing anything. We're just talking about stuff.
I understand, but I think I know how I would have played. I think he did make the right moves, but I think it was extremely dangerous. And I think it could have blown up in his face. It didn't. I'm thinking any other person, though, it would have blown up in their face. But whatever. I mean, Adam's a very...
he's a special guy.
He played hard. He played very hard.
Yeah.
And my hat's off to him. But I think, Well, listen, I mean, he got to the end with Hannah and Ken, and whoever gets to the end with them wins $1 million. So my hat's off to him. I think he did a great job.
Was that really known when you guys were out there that Hannah and Ken was the winning combination?
Yeah. And it's not because they didn't play hard. It's not because they, you know, it's not because they weren't great people. It's because, you know, what the jury was thinking, and you know what those 10 people on the jury, or at the time eight, I knew exactly what they were thinking. I also knew I didn't put a lot of them there. So I knew that I was in great shape to win it. And maybe I was even more of a threat. Maybe I was a threat to Dave too. Dave said I was. I don't believe that I was a threat to Dave, but maybe I was. And maybe that's why they wanted me out so bad. But yeah, I mean, anyone who gets to the end with Hannah and Ken, and it was really a dogleg race. When we got to the final five, it was a dogleg race between me, David, and Adam, who would get to the end with them, those two. Mm-hmm. You know, and they had the better relationships with them. Now, I tried to have relationships with them, but when people are flipping back and forth, I won't even talk to you. You know, what can you do? You know,
yeah.
I know that even David was shocked when Ken goes and runs over to and rats out Will to us. Like, Ken's like, I mean, David's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they had trouble playing with him, too. When you bring the people that play like that to the end, it's extremely dangerous.
Could you believe from the jury that Ken flipped on David at four?
You know, I believe it, but I feel like I do believe it. I can't believe it, because it's like I've been trying to get him to flip forever, or you know, but I think he finally listened to reason, and it was, you know, that's why Adam deserves it, because he was able to essentially slay the, you know, Chris said it at Final Travel. He were able to slay the dragon. He was able to finally get them to take out Dave, which I couldn't get them to do. So, you know, and that was the key. The key was getting out David. If you could get David out, you could win the game, because the other two couldn't win it, you know, and not because they didn't play, not because they weren't good people. It's because the jury was frustrated with them. The jury wouldn't award them the money. And we knew that. And I knew that, you know. So it was definitely a dogleg race at the final five between me, Adam, and Dave. Whoever got through to the end with those two wins the million. And Adam was able to finagle his way in there, and more power to him. It would have been a better game for me if he had shut his mouth about having the idol, but he didn't do that. He wants to be Mr. Honesty and everything. And I tell everyone, go ahead. You want to be Mr. Honest and tell everyone what you got? Go out there and Future Survivors, and you do that.
Yeah.
You tell me how that works for you.
Well, he, I believe, it even says that it was a mistake. And he thinks that, you know, and it was that Hannah made a bad move at that spot as well. So I do feel like that, you know, he agrees with you when we talk about that point in the game.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, in my, I do think there's nobody that beats David. I think that was David's show to win. He played brilliantly. He was amazing. You know, I just really enjoy the kid. I enjoyed him even though I was fighting against him out there. He's just a real likable guy. And, you know, it's just, I hope he gets to play again because, you know, he deserves the win.
What about you playing again? Is that something that you're interested in?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. I'm waiting for the call. I actually keep checking my phone to see if they're calling me. But yeah, no, I'm definitely going out there. I'm ready to tweak a few things and change things up, and I'm ready to win this thing. You know, I wouldn't change. Everyone asks you, what would you do differently? And I really wouldn't do too much differently because I got really far in the game, and I was well liked by everyone. And, you know, I know that my strength is my social game. You know, I have a very strong social game, and you really need that out there. If you're not social, it's as you know, Rob, it's hard to kind of get further in the game.
What do you mean? I know a lot about not getting further in the game.
No, you did very well. Come on, stop it.
Well, no, when I went back, though.
Yeah.
When you were at Ponderosa, was there a lot of talk and a debate in terms of what people were looking for in the Final Tribal Council, or it was everybody sort of, it was an open and shut case going in?
No, you know, we didn't really, I mean, listen, we all knew. Whoever gets to the end with those. I mean, it was like I call them. Yeah, I actually say it at the final travel. I say, you know, Adam apologizes to me and says, Brett, if you made it to the final four, I was going to come for you. And I was like, well, don't worry about that, buddy. I says, I was going to come after you, too, because who wouldn't want to sit next to this dream team? And of course, they cut it out because the whole jury started laughing.
Yeah.
But the point was, is, you know, they. We all knew who's, I mean, nobody discussed it. We didn't have to discuss it. You knew who the winner was. And nobody knew. It had nothing to do with, you know, his mother being sick. And that was definitely something that was sad. And afterwards you say, my God, what this poor kid went through being out there when doing all that. I mean, it's just, you know, but it was whoever sat at the end there was going to win, you know, between those two. And I actually thought maybe, Jessica was going to throw a vote at Ken. You know, I was actually kind of shocked that she didn't. But, you know, that was a no-brainer. And I don't think anyone really needed to discuss it at Ponderosa.
Brett, do you have time for a couple of questions from the listeners that I have for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. By the way, how great was my Ponderosa? Thank God for that James Seal and his wife. What a beautiful. That was hysterical. I mean, he did a great job with that. My hat's off to him. Everyone seems to enjoy it, too.
They do a great job with all the Ponderosa videos.
Yeah, he's a real nice guy, too, if you ever get a chance to talk to him. I'm sure you have.
No, you know, I hope to one day. I've traded some emails, but I'd love to talk to him.
Good dude. Good dude. I like him a lot, yeah.
All right. A lot of people had this question, and Adam Ritto wants to ask, how does Brett think he'd do on Top Chef as a contestant? Everybody, all of the listeners were sending me emails about you on Top Chef. So can you explain what was going on there?
That's my buddy Adam Ritter from Down Under.
Yeah, is that right? That's right.
Yes, yes, my Australian friend. I'm hoping to see them when I go to Australia next month, February 16th.
Look at you.
Yeah, well, listen, they're big fans down there. And who am I not to make my fans from Australia happy by coming to their summer during our winter? You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
What was I going to say? I was on Top Chef. I had a great time. That's why this keeps coming up. I was actually on Top Chef. I was a guest judge. They came to Boston and they did something for the police and fire. And I sat next to Padma. Shared some laughs with her, and we tried to, but I am not the best chef. I can make a great steak and some good chicken, but I don't think I would fare well as a contestant because I've never been schooled in the culinary arts, so to speak.
So how did that happen? It was just that Top Chef was doing something and they were looking for officers to come down and judge something?
Yeah, Rob, I'm glad you asked because people keep asking on Twitter and everyone wants to know the story. So I'm going to tell you how it comes down. Good. A friend of mine worked up in media relations at the department and called me up because I'll tell you, this is a big joke that I wanted to be on Survivor. Brett wants to be on Survivor. So he goes, hey, it's not Survivor, but do you want to be on Top Chef? What are you doing? And I just like lost like 50 pounds. So I was like, oh, great. I'll be on. You know, so I said, I was all excited. So I says, yeah, I'll go on TV. So they said, all right, there's a bunch of them going. Why don't you meet down at such and such, this restaurant in Belmont, which is right outside of Boston. So I went down there and the camera crews are up. Everything's right. Now, I didn't know much about the show. I have not. It's a huge following, by the way. But I thought it was like a cable access show. I'd never seen it. I didn't know what I was going to do. So we get down there and I'm in a room full of Boston firefighters and Boston cops are getting mic'd up and everything. And one of my buddies who actually used to be a cop, used to ride with me and was in there. And I come walking in the door and we just start yelling back. And he's a firefighter now, but we started giving each other shit back and forth. So we're being real funny and we're giving each other jabs and stuff like that. And so one of the producers comes over and goes, would you like to sit at the front table? And I think it's because I was joking around and being loud and being funny. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll sit at the front table. So I sat next to Padma and Tom Colicchio, who's a great guy. And all the hosts are really nice people. And so we went through the whole thing and I was making conversation, making fun of the firefighters. They were making fun of me. It was a really good episode if you ever get a chance to see it. But so anyway, that's how I ended up on the show. And I was shocked at how huge it was. In fact, I remember I sat next to Padma and I go, oh, are you from the area? And she's like, oh, no, I'm the host of the show. And I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea. But she was really, really sweet, really sweet person. And we had a lot of laughs and it was a really good time. And Tom Colicchio's father was actually a prison guard. So we had a lot to talk about. So that was kind of cool. But it was a neat experience and it got me ready for Survivor.
You did this after the show taped. So you got you ready to watch Survivor?
No. This was a year or two before I was on Survivor.
Oh, so you lost the weight before you even did Survivor?
Oh, yeah. No, I was like 275 pounds and I had been called the first time for Survivor. So I started working out and getting in shape and losing weight. And then I just lost like 50 pounds. And then they called me or my buddy called me and said, hey, you want to be on? So I had to get a whole new uniform. I went to my because my uniforms didn't fit. I needed something nice. So I had to buy a new uniform and went to my tailor real quick. But it was all good. It's a great episode if you get to watch it. Season 12, episode 2, everyone.
Hey, I'll do a plug for our Top Chef Rehap Up show on reality TV Rehap Ups. I'm sure they got into it.
Oh, nice. That's great. Yeah. Tell that. It's a great, I mean, I love the show now. I watch it all the time. It's really interesting to watch. And I really love cooking, but I'm just not very good at it. So to answer Adam's question, no, I would not fare well on that show. I am not in the culinary arts.
Puya wants to know, what is Brett's beverage of choice? I think that's why you really connected with the fans, certainly the RHAP listeners, who really do like to drink. It seems like that they really found something in common with you.
Well, listen, we all like to drink, don't we, a little bit here and there? And I will say I do love my Coors Lights, okay? So if it's an everyday drink, it's a Coors Light. But I do love my Blue Moon. So if I'm out for the night and I'm at a nice restaurant or something, I'll have a Blue Moon. When I'm home, I usually like a glass of wine by the fire while I'm watching TV, you know what I mean, or something like that. Or I do enjoy wine, too. I like my red wines. Although if I'm eating sushi, I like my Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro. New Zealand.
Wow.
There is no other. Yeah, there is no other. It's the best. You can really taste the – it's really crisp. It's really nice, especially chilled. You have to chill it now, folks, okay? I told people before, oh, what kind of white should I get? So I tell them, like, I didn't taste good. You didn't chill it, okay? You got to chill white wine. So then – but I do love my margaritas. Now, if I'm going to go out and I'm margaritas, I love my, like, raspberry margarita. That's nice if you go to a Mexican joint or something like that. So that's a lot of fun. So I have a mixture of
raspberry Rob. Margarita. I've never heard that.
Oh, yes. They will make it. A lot of places will make it. Some make it special with fresh raspberries. It's fantastic. But I do none of this crazy mushed up crap. You got to have it on the rocks with a little bit of salt on the side and you're good to go.
No frozen margarita.
No. I'm not here to get an ice cream headache. All right. We're out here to drink and we're out here to have a good time. None of this crazy, you know, you inhaled it too fast and now you have this crazy headache that nobody's ever been able to explain to me what it really is.
Okay. Mo Saunders wants to know, what was the significance of his t-shirt?
Mo, I'm glad you asked that, Mo. That was from the Martin Richard Foundation. And I was looking for so when casting called me, they had wanted me to get a sweatshirt with Boston on it. And I had that and they liked it, the green one. And then they wanted me to have they said we'd like a Boston shirt. So I was like, I'm not going to be this tool that rips off his Boston sweatshirt and underneath is a Boston t-shirt. And I think what they really wanted was the Boston police shirts, but I couldn't wear them, you know, because I wasn't telling anyone. Right, I was like, right. So I went to my friend's Jack Doherty's t-shirt shop down at College Hype in Dorchester, and he had just come up with for the Martin Richard Foundation. Now, if you don't know, Martin Richard was the young boy killed during the marathon bombings. Mm-hmm. And I was working that day, and it was absolutely devastating when we learned that three young people were killed at the marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. So it always resonated with me how sad that was. And it's always been something that's always kind of stuck with. I think it sticks with any Boston cop that was working that day. Mm-hmm. So I'm in Jack's shop and he says, how about this shirt? And he held up the bridge, the Zakin Bridge shirt, gray shirt. And on the back in little letters, you can see it. It's on the show. It says the Martin Richard Foundation. And I said, oh, my God, this is the kid. And he goes, yeah. And he says, this is a foundation. We're trying to raise money for the Martin Richard Foundation, which is a great foundation that gives money to schools and young kids trying to go to camp and playing sports, you know, because, you know, sports are so expensive for kids to play now. So it's a really good foundation that's doing great things and they're getting off the ground. And I said, you know what? Let me see if I can get this approved. I sent it to CBS. They loved it. They thought it was a great idea. It was a great cause. And so I wore it and I've been getting a ton of requests for it. I've been tweeting it out as much as I can, but that's collegehype.com. If anyone's interested, they're great shirts. I mean, the thing's durable. I wore it for 37 days and never washed it. It's fantastic. I still have it, but it's really a great cause. I'm so glad to have been able to help them with that because what an awful thing that family had to go through. And I hope to God I never see that again.
Did you see the movie, the Mark Wahlberg movie?
No, I have not.
Okay. Do you not want to see it?
I probably will see it. We all definitely have mixed feelings on it, but yeah. I don't want to take away from it. Mark's done a great job for bringing stuff to the city of Boston, and it's awesome. And it's definitely a movie that needed to be told. It's a story that needed to be told. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just it never comes out the way you always think it does. So why should I watch it and be frustrated or not? You know what I mean? Mm. I'm not sure I'm going to watch it. I probably should watch it. I may watch it. I don't know. We'll see.
Ruben Berg wants to know, do you think that Jay made the right decision on that Michaela vote?
I do. I think he made the right decision for him. I think that her going back to the millennials with Taylor and Figgy and everything, I think he needed to do that move.
I've said during the season, I felt like that having another millennial around. I mean, he was just had his back against the wall really for the whole post-merge. I felt like that would have given him some more room to work having Michaela around.
Yeah, you know, you might be right. I mean, listen, I'm always going to think that was a good move.
It was a good move for you. Yeah.
And I can't even think, I don't even want to think about the opposite. But yeah, I mean, listen, this would have been a great move for him if he had just included me and Sunday from here on out. Do you know what I'm saying? If it would have been a great move for him, because Sunday and I were constantly contemplating whether we should have flipped and worked just with Jay and Will and you know, tried to pull Chris in. But he just, you can't go back from that and then just not talk to us for a day. You know what I mean? You just lose so much when you do that. And I think, you know, Jay was a great guy. I really enjoyed him as a person. And I think that it would have, you know, had we been included a little more in some of those conversations on the beach, I think, you know, a lot of things might have been different.
Keith Dixon wants to know, what would a ride along with Chris be like? Would he make a good or terrible buddy cop?
No, he'd probably make good cop, because we'd be making fun of each other all night long. So I would definitely ride with Chris. My problem is he's a scumbag defense attorney. So if he got rid of that, then maybe we could ride together. But as of right now, he's just a scumbag defense attorney to me.
Finally, Steve Chung wants to know, if Chris isn't really your Survivor crush, who is?
I will never tell who my Survivor crush was.
Okay. Are they from your season?
My true Survivor crush is not from our season, oddly enough. But there's definitely something I was looking at out there. Let's just say that. But we're going to we'll leave it at that.
Wait, is it Jeff?
I'm not saying, no, stop.
Okay, all right.
He's a good guy, though. I like Jeff a lot. What a nice guy he is.
Yeah.
You know? I like that everyone's so interested in who I like, though. This is kind of funny. So I'm going to keep it to myself for
because
a while.
Because this, again, going back to you keep things close to the vest, that you're such a mystery. Everybody wants to understand you. Everybody wants to know more.
I know. Well,
captured our imagination.
Yep, I know it. And I'm happy about that. And I got to say, I love the fans. Everyone's been great. I got a lot of people really had a lot of support early on. And then after the Zeke conversation, I had some wonderful people reaching out, and I heard some wonderful things and people saying, hey, you know, I went through this. I love the way you handled that. You know, I'm nonchalant about it, too. So it's really cool to have people reach out and say those things. So it's really been a great experience.
Yeah. And now, look at you. You're verified on Twitter now. You've made it.
This is such a stickler to you. You know, Adam told us all how to do it. Once he did it, I was like, oh, what the hell? I don't understand why you don't just go and do it. You're more important than me. You got more followers than me.
It's my cross to bear.
I know.
Being unverified forever.
It really doesn't give you much. It doesn't do anything else for you. The problem is like if people put up fake ones about you, it just verifies that that's the real one, you know? So I'm going to put up a fake one about you, and I'm going to tweet all kinds of crazy stuff out. So you'll have to finally get it.
Yeah. You're at Brett1T. Does that make you mad if people spell Brett with two T's?
No, but it's the wrong. It's a woman's name. Brett with two T's is a woman's name. That's how I was always taught. My mother told me. So that's why I have one T. But I don't know. I've seen lots of Bretts with two T's, so I'm not, I don't need to hear it that you have two T's and I'm a jerk. I'm sorry. That's just what my mother told me. My mother, you yell at my mother. Go on my mother's Twitter and yell at her.
Like that loser, Brett Favre.
Loser, Brett Favre. Yeah, he has one T, doesn't he?
No, he has two.
Does he really? Oh, yeah. He is a loser then.
That's what I'm saying. Look, I live. I lived through 2008. I could tell you that for sure.
Yes.
All right. And so is it even going to be close on Sunday between the Steelers and the Patriots?
I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think they have a great good offense. We have a great offense. Their defense, I think, is a little lacking. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Yeah.
I mean, our defense is pretty good, though. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping for the best. But I'll tell you, playoff games, you know how crazy they can be, Rob.
I'm forgetting how crazy they can be as a Jets fan. But from what I hear, yeah,
I'm sorry for you, buddy. Yeah. Quit rooting for a losing team, will you?
Well, what am I supposed to do? What loyalty would I have?
You got to root for the guys you've always rooted for. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
I don't like carpetbaggers.
That's right. All right. So Brett, also Brett the Hitman Hart, 1T. So you might be onto something here.
Yes. Yes. No, I have nothing against 2T people. Don't come at me like you did with the whole anxiety thing, folks. Okay. It's okay to have 2Ts. Okay. Let's all just get through this. We'll get past it. Everything's going to be fine. The world's not coming to an end on Saturday. Everyone calm down.
All right. Brett is on Twitter. He is at Brett LaBelle. Brett Lalee.
You all got right. it.
So you got a lot of travel plans. You're going to Australia. You're going all over the place.
Yes. I'm hopefully going to hoist a beer with my buddy Adam, who's nice enough to chime in.
Yeah. Where are you going to see him?
Well, I don't know. I think they're not in Sydney, but I'm going to be in Sydney, but I'm going to travel around a little bit.
Adam Ritter.
Yeah. But okay. I don't think he's in Sydney. I think he's in Melbourne or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember. I should know, but I don't know Australia
that
well.
That's fine. All right. Yeah. Are you going to see Australian survivors?
Yes. I'm going to see the love of my life there.
Who? Flick?
No. Oh, Flick. Flick friended me. I'm all excited about this. I want to meet Flick.
Yeah.
Oh, Christy. Christy Bennett is going to is taking me all over. She's hooking me up with all kinds of
she's your new best friend.
She's fun. You met her, didn't you?
Yes.
Isn't she fun? Yes. She's the best. So Christy's got me all hooked up. I want to meet Flick. Flick got me on Twitter. I think I followed her back. So I gotta tell her I'm coming. And I'm dying to meet them all. And I know that Australia's a big Survivor fans down there. So I'm very excited to get down there. Okay. And I hope everyone comes out to see me because I really I'm going down there alone because my buddy bailed out of me. So I'm ready to party and have beers. Whoever wants to go out down there, you know, I'll be in Sydney from the 16th through, I think, the 1st of March, 2nd of March or something like that. So
get the raspberry margaritas ready.
Get them. Well, yeah. Or the whatever. You know, I hear don't drink the Fosters, which is Australian for beer. They say that's not that good. But yeah. I guess each town, I'm told, I got a couple of Foster cops that have been down there, have their own beer. So I'm open to whatever they'll give me down there. I'm open to it. You know, I like free beers, but I'll pay too. I don't care.
All right, Brett. You know? Well, this was so much fun to go through everything. Thank you for taking this time this afternoon to go through it. I know everybody that listened really appreciated it.
Well, listen, I'm glad that we got to air the what really happened. You know, a lot of people trying to take credit for how great they are. And, you know, it is what it is, you know. But I will say, you know, it was a great season and everyone really did really cared for each other. So it was really cool to be a part of it. I'm so glad I was a part of Millennials and Gen X. And I'm so glad to have been on Rob Has a Podcast.
Finally. How
cool is this? Finally.
Yes.
Finally. I hope it's not for the last time.
No, it won't be.
All right.
Unless you get mad at me and then you know freeze me out. No, this will not be the last time.
Okay, no, I would never freeze you out. And I won't get mad at you.
Okay, all right.
Although I feel bad we didn't hang out at that party, but we'll make up for that next time.
These things, you end up, you know, barely getting to talk to anybody. You know, at best, you got to hope for you're like next to somebody in line for the bathroom or like waiting to get a drink at the bar for 15 right. minutes.
Yeah, it's a crazy night.
Yeah. All right. Brett, you take care, buddy, okay?
All right, you too, Rob. Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Brett LaBelle here on the podcast. Brett was really fun to go through everything with. So thank him once again, and thank you guys for making it all the way to another one of our postseason interview. So we've got a lot more coming up. We've got some fun stuff coming up over the weekend with some off-season Survivor content. So be on the lookout for that. Plus all the coverage we're doing on Celebrity Apprentice. We're going to have a podcast after the premiere following the AFC Championship game as well. So be on the lookout for that on CBS and much, much more. So make sure you don't miss anything when you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.